hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Just hours ago, the head of the Iraqi Governing Council was killed in a suicide car bombing near a U.S. checkpoint in central Baghdad, as the current holder of the rotating council presidency, Izzeddin Salim, was the second and highest-ranking member of the U.S.-appointed council assassinated so far. At least three other Iraqis were killed in a blast, which occurred in a convoy of cars waiting to enter the Green Zone, the heavily fortified coalition headquarters. It was not clear whether Salim was targeted or just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Six Iraqis and two U.S. soldiers were injured. Brigadier General Mark Kimmett told CNN in the wake of the blast this morning that such events only reinforce American resolve.
Days like today convince us even more so that this must stay on track. Absolutely affirms that the process of handing over sovereignty to the people of Iraq must happen. And days like today, rather than derailing us from that process, actually affirm the wisdom and the prudence of that transfer of authority.
Brigadier General Mark Kimmett on CNN this morning. New Yorker magazine says Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld gave the green light to a program that called for prisoner abuse, including physical coercion and sexual humiliation of Iraqi prisoners. It's the latest bombshell report from journalist Seymour Hersh, who revealed in the magazine a Pentagon operation called Copper Green. That program required explicit photographs of the prisoners that would be used to blackmail them, this in a bid to have them become spies for the United States. Hersh quoted the U.S. government consultant about the purported operation. The Pentagon is vehemently denying the report. A published report says the United States has given the green light to a $35 million contract award in Iraq to the infamous Indiana gun manufacturer Keysler Police Supply, Incorporated. A report says the dealer will play the role as mass distributor of thousands of Polish and Czech-made AK-47 Soviet-era machine guns, including some built-in silencers and handguns that outfit the Iraqi police force. Contract is a tiny part of $18.7 billion Iraqi reconstruction program approved by Congress. The infamous gun dealer was the source of AK-47s and other assault weapons for David Koresh and the Branch Davidians cult in their 1993 shootout with federal agents in Waco, Texas. Kaiser was also involved in a resale of old Dade County police revolvers that were later used widely by Chicago street gangs in 1999. President Bush's poll numbers continue to sink. This time to new lows. Newsweek has reported that Bush's new poll numbers reflect only 42% of Americans approve of what he's doing. Some 52% are opposed. Latest figures mean that Bush could be in for serious trouble in November if recent history is any indicator. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
If you mess up one more thing, you're fired. That's what my boss just told me. Guess I can't blame him, though. I've been forgetting more and more things all the time. Small things and sometimes big things. Yesterday, I forgot a meeting. Today, I forgot our biggest client. I might as well forget my paycheck.
If your poor memory is putting your job at risk, you need to call now for a free CD on the most remarkable memory improvement program available. The Memory Optimizer shows you how easy it is to dramatically improve your memory now and protect it for the future without drugs or dietary supplements. You'll be amazed at how much more easily you remember names, dates, facts, figures, whatever you need to remember. Before you do another thing, call 1-800-900-8182 for your free Memory Optimizer CD. You'll discover how easy it is for you to improve and protect your memory in all areas of your life. Call now, 1-800-900-8182. That's 1-800-900-8182.
Head driving to Valero. Gotta fill her up fast. Fill my tank to the brim with performance gas. Get driving to the low. Make a turn for the better. Get driving to the low for all the room you need.
Get more room for your buck. Valero. Value, variety, room.
So you're lying there watching your soon-to-be first baby on the ultrasound monitor, and you're thinking you really have to start saving for a bigger house and college. And college? How are you going to pay for that? And then you relax, because you're not in this alone. See, your State Farm agent will be helping with things like life insurance and college savings plans. And then the nurse says, okay, finished. And you say, no, 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 we want to keep watching.
Start planning with the State Farm agent you know from the company you trust. State Farm, providing insurance and financial services. Weeds, like dandelion, clover, and hundreds of others, can stand between you and a thick green lawn. That's why Bayer Advanced created Triple Action Lawn Fertilizer Plus Weed Control. It does two jobs at once. It kills four times as many types of weeds as the leading brand, while it feeds at every level. The grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep-down green that lasts longer. Without the weeds, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
Unfiltered. 46% of Americans approve of Bush's job performance. Now, the editor-in-chief of the Gallup poll says, for an incumbent to be at 46% job approval at this point in an election year has historically always spelled defeat for presidents since 1950. Nobody at this low an approval rating at this point in their candidacy running for re-election has ever won.
That's pre-Dibble.
Air America's Unfiltered. Weekdays 9 to noon on Air America Radio.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today, it's Monday. How do you feel about that? We've got the liberal agenda coming up this hour, plus a live report from Baghdad, where a top-level assassination was carried out this morning. But right now, I'm going to say good morning to Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's
good
Monday.
Good morning.
Let's start out on a good foot, a good footing, a good happy moment. Can we have that?
Sure.
Okay, a little silence for the happy moment.
Oh, it's gone.
There it is.
That was beautiful.
It was a powerful, happy moment. So you had a good weekend, Riley?
Yes, I did.
What'd you do?
Immensely.
Yeah, what did you?
Yeah, I went to the health club with my wife and daughter, went bicycling, did a few, you know.
Wow, look at you being all grown up
and
taking care of yourself.
I watched television and watched my soccer team make history.
And Sue was in England.
I was in England
while his soccer team was making history, and my husband was invited by a friend who had a ticket for what actually clinched Arsenal as the sort of undefeated team. Wasn't it the most winning team since for 115 years?
Something
like
the last
that.
Time a team went.
And do you know what my husband said? I can't go because Sue's only here for 36 hours.
I said, go!
I'll look after the kids.
What a guy.
What a guy.
I am impressed, because it wouldn't have been me, I'll tell you. No,
well, I know that,
right? I'm only kidding. I mean, look, I've seen them play twice, and the second goal, they beat Leicester City 2-1. The second goal was just such a gem. Dennis Bergkamp.
I can see just Mark, you know, he's sort of sinking to the floor and like, snooze, British football.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
I don't know anything about American sports. Now, you guys are speaking like some other weird language. You know, Arsenal, goals.
Leicester City.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about my weekend.
Let's talk about your weekend.
A challenging, exciting weekend. How about a weekend filled with masturbation and compulsive eating? All right.
Yes.
And almost going to the movies. Yeah, there's a... That's a good one. Where you're like, you know, I'm going to go see Troy because one of the producers says, maybe you should do a little more pop culture stuff. Why don't you go see Troy?
You and two other people who went to see it.
I just was sitting there, man. I was sitting there going, I started to hate Troy. I started to hate Brad Pitt. I started to hate everything Hollywood stood for. And then it just turned into this nasty kind of compulsive. I can't even.
Were the two previous mentioned activities taking place during the viewing of Troy?
No, I couldn't. You can't go to a public theater.
Thank goodness for that, because that would be really unpleasant for everybody else there. No wonder the movie did badly.
No, but it would be heroic, wouldn't it? What's that guy doing in row two? Celebrating the power of Troy.
Uh-oh.
What, you mean it tanked? It tanked?
It did very badly, yes.
Ah, that's so beautiful, man. You know, like, I don't know what's become of my ability to... Like, I like Schadenfreude so much right now. Like, last week I was worried that they were going to be able to spin this torture thing into an isolated incident. You know what I mean? And they were just going to, like, but now, like, after Seymour Hersh's article came out and that they started to make all these other implications about, you know, it going all the way to the top, at least to Stephen Gambone, I was, like, sort of like, yes! There's, like, I don't watch sports. I don't know what you're talking about with soccer, but I want to see the Bush administration go down so hard that I can't even, it's like, it's part of my soul right now. I get so much relief and joy if any of them get accused of anything and it sticks. It's unbelievable. I love it. And I'm also glad Troy failed, too.
Well,
I don't know what that
when I say failed, I mean, it did very badly considering how much money it cost and all the hype. It was still number one at the box office, but a sort of pathetic number one relative to the amount it cost.
Yeah. I get it. I'm no political.
And the fact there's nothing much else out there to attract people to go to the movies this weekend.
I'm telling you, man, if you see a coming attraction and they can't find something that'll make you want to see it for the 30-second thing that you see before the movie, if they can't find something that'll make you go, wow, then it's going to suck. I mean, you know, I knew it was going to suck because they didn't even have like a little bit of a fragment of the Trojan horse, which is the big payoff. That's the punchline of that movie. And they didn't even tease it in the coming attraction. So it's got to suck.
Maybe they hadn't finished building it by the time they did that trailer.
Yeah, maybe, but I doubt it.
I'm looking forward to Shrek 2, though. That's about the only thing this year that I'm really
crazy?
Excited about. Yes, you know I am.
And you're going to bring kids? Yeah, it's just because
I don't know if they're here, but no, I thought that was really funny, that film.
Any grown-up who goes to see cartoons without kids?
Yeah,
is
the kind of person who goes on the scooter.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
I didn't say that, but if you want to finish my joke, it's fine.
You know what? My daughter got Shrek 2 cereal. They sell cereal now,
mm-hmm.
named after Shrek.
They got Shrek Baskin-Robbins ice cream. That's a weird color. Yeah. You got to be a kid to like the weird, you know, kind of purple ice creams.
Commercial tie-ins. What a concept.
Oh, well, yeah. This weekend, I'm going to the premiere of Harry Potter 3.
Because you've got connections, don't you?
I do have connections, yes. Yeah. Yes, yes.
I saw those Harry Potter movies because my wife forced me to go see them. You
really?
Know what? Yeah, you have to understand something.
Yeah, everybody wants to know apparently the connection I have, and that's the fact I'm going out with a Dementor. He got me in.
My life, because I'm so self-centered and completely narcissistic and self-involved, my life is a fairy tale. And this weekend, I was playing the part of the sad cave-dwelling troglodyte monster who just sat in his dark room with his, you know.
We're worried about you.
With his snacks and his porn and had a weekend.
Wow. Was that on DVD or video?
I don't buy nothing. I go to the free sites and make it work.
I understand.
All right, what do you got, Ray? Let's shift gears before like people start writing. Like, Mark Maron is sophomoric, and we don't like him talking about masturbating because that's Stern's territory, and we're liberals, and we're more important than that. We'd like it to be more diverse. If he's going to talk about porn, why didn't he talk about the many type of women that he masturbated to over the weekend so we can all feel involved? And if there were some men included in that, that would make Mark more interesting and more diversely minded because porn really is a beautiful. But if it's diverse, maybe it's okay. I don't know.
Hey,
do a comment segment about it.
Save it for the liberal agenda. But I'll tell you, on a serious note, on a more serious note. But we, you know what? We got to get back to that.
Okay,
definitely.
Let's go back. No, sorry. Let's go.
We really do have.
I say we go right into.
Said too many unanswered things.
Right into torture. Let's go right into.
We got to go into the car bombing. Tragic car bombing.
Of the president. The rotating president.
The rotating president of the Iraqi Governing Council killed by a car bomb near a checkpoint in central Baghdad. He was just outside the green zone waiting online to go into the provisional authority compound. He and three other Iraqis were killed. His name was Abdel Zahra Othman. He was also known as Izzeddine Salim. He was a Shiite. And he was the leader of the Islamic Dawah movement, which is based in Basra in southern Iraq.
I bet you no one's fighting for that rotating position this week.
I would think probably not. But how insecure are things in Iraq when the head of the governing council gets blown up on a line to get into a supposedly safe and secure area?
I was actually saddened to hear about the role that he played. I mean, he was a writer and a political activist and a philosopher, and he had been the editor of several magazines and newspapers. So we're really talking about someone who was, you know, an ideas man, a deep thinker and a communicator, and someone who presumably had a vision in a, you know, abstract and intellectual way for what Iraq should become. And that seems to me
an especially profound tragedy that we've lost that kind of figure who could play a role in the new Iraq.
A kind of a folk hero guy, Renaissance man, yeah, with a vision of all types.
Thoughtful, smart, not a pure politician, someone who kind of really takes in culture and philosophy and religion and figures out how we're going to make this kind of very complex society function.
Did he do we have any work that he did? Do you know of any big pieces or poems or whatever he did?
I'll get back to you on that.
Okay.
Well, you know, he's the second member of the council who's been assassinated. There was a woman who was killed, I believe, back last year, late last year.
September, I think.
Yeah, last fall. So you're right. I'm sure people aren't exactly rushing to become members of the governing council. And the other thing is, you know, how safe and secure is the Green Zone?
Right.
If this can happen that close, closer to home or back home, it's been an eventful weekend as well. There are calls now for a congressional investigation of allegations in that latest bombshell article in the New Yorker magazine by Seymour Hersh. It alleges the abuse of Iraqi prisoners was linked to a secret operation approved by Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. Hersh over the weekend said the Bush administration had some very specific questions that need to be answered.
Was there a covert operation that had been set up after Afghanistan of men operating in secret with aliases, of going around the world and going after terrorism? And was this group diverted in the fall of 2003 to Baghdad into the prisons with the idea that they were going to get better intelligence on the insurgency by using not only coercion but also sexual intimidation?
That was Seymour Hersh, and again, that article is in this week's New Yorker, which I believe the date of which is May 24th.
You can go to newyorker.com and read it. It's posted, posted over the weekend.
Yeah. The Pentagon has strongly denied the substance of Hersh's article. However, Pentagon spokesman Lawrence DeRita was very careful in how he worded that denial. He did not deny that there was a special access program, which was the central substance of Hersh's piece. He only said Rumsfeld didn't approve anything that led to the abuse. And Hersh's article, ironically enough, says that Rumsfeld may well have not known that the special access program was going to lead to this kind of abuse. However, he also says, and he quotes former Defense Department officials, saying that this program was designed to leave lower-level soldiers, seven of which, of course, are facing court-martial, holding the bag.
Scapegoat guys.
Yep.
Don't you think, Mark, that if you are the head of the Defense Department, you are Donald Rumsfeld, and you have approved a highly secret operation which focuses on hunting down Osama bin Laden, and that includes interrogation of prisoners in Iraq, it's a real failure of imagination not to think that abuses might possibly happen, or to question, you know, what would be the worst case scenario if we go ahead with this? What might happen? What do I really need to know? Or it's worse than that, is that he knew and figured out in his own head, but didn't want to address it, because then you've got the situation where if anybody ever asks you, as they are doing now, you can say, I never approved that specific thing, or I didn't ever say that was okay.
I think they knew exactly what they were doing. I think that, you know, they implicated this thing, or they put it into position, like this shift over, like they knew exactly what they were doing with the photographs. They were going to use those to blackmail people into working for them on a grand scale. Their real oversight was that they didn't think that somebody would send a disc out to the public. I mean, that was the real oversight. I think they knew exactly what they were doing with this.
Yeah, and it was a climate of potential abuse that was created.
Yeah, and of course, the soldiers have been left holding the bag.
Still ahead, the president's Palm Pilot, and coming up next, we'll go live to Baghdad for a report from the street right here on Air America Radio.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello, relief.
Prilosec's label says it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec, nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees? GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's really important, your business. GEM HR combines state-of-the-art technology with experienced professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GEM HR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at GEMHR.com. At GEM HR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
Look at this one, Dad. Like new, best offer.
No, honey, that's a private owner. I'd feel better if we went to a Ford dealer for a quality check certified pre-owned Ford.
Certified?
Yep. 115 points of inspection and 6-year, 75,000-mile powertrain limited warranty coverage.
Oh, we can't get that from a private owner.
Or roadside assistance and 3.9% financing.
You're right, Dad. If it's not certified, it's just used.
Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Good morning, it's Monday, it's 21 past the hour. I am Mark Maron here with Mark Riley and Sue Elcott on Morning America, Air America's Morning Sedition, Morning America's Sedition Radio. We have been trying to get hold of our guest, Gayath Abdulahad, a journalist in Iraq. We tried to have him on last week, and again, we're having trouble getting through to his phone. I don't know what to tell you.
He plays hard to get, this guy.
I don't mean to disappoint people out there. We're a little disappointed, but I hope everything's okay there in Iraq with him anyways, and maybe he'll give us a call in a little while, maybe not. But we do have plenty to talk about. Like, I did a lot of reading. I read Seymour Hersh's article. When I saw him on TV, I was like I said, I came out of my strange, you know, self-autoerotic haze to feel a tremendous amount of power in the terms of, like, this might be really, you know, a story that could bring down, you know, at least Gambone, right?
Steve well, Gambone. I mean, it could even go further. Sue has maintained all along that Rumsfeld would be the one that went down. And, you know, I thought of you the minute I saw this thing on Sunday morning when they started talking about, you know, Hersh's new article and you know, the fact that they're linking this now directly to Rumsfeld. But the most cynical part of this, and this is just my own feeling,
yeah,
is that they really, I mean, there's a quote in here, and this was a guy who was obviously friendly to Seymour Hersh. It was a former Pentagon official.
Isn't this why Rumsfeld was able to make the statements with such confidence that this is all conjecture and, like, conspiracy, mm-hmm. was that the guy didn't, he was what do you call it? He was a source that didn't identify himself.
Didn't identify, yeah.
Anonymous.
Anonymous source, and that makes mm-hmm. it.
Well, here's what Seymour Hersh's article says. The military police prison guards, he's not talking about a former official, included, quote, recycled hillbillies from Cumberland, Maryland, unquote. He was referring to members of the 372nd Military Police Company. Seven members of that company are the ones that are now facing charges. Quote, these guys are from Cumberland. How are these guys from Cumberland going to know anything? The Army Reserve doesn't know what it's doing, unquote.
So the meat of this article, really, is that not only did they set these guys up, but that Cambone, who is the Undersecretary of Defense,
Defense
Intelligence,
Deputy
that
Defense
was a post created by Rumsfeld, you know, was overseeing the secret operation of people, and there were only so many people in the loop. Certainly the hillbillies, as they called them, were not in the loop. They were being used.
You know who else wasn't in the loop?
Who?
Congress.
Right.
This thing was put together specifically because Rumsfeld and Cambone did not want to go through a bunch of different people and checks and balances in order to, quote, go after, capture, or kill terrorists.
But that's not an unusual thing for secret operations to
no.
do that. All right, so they had this thing in place in Iraq, which was used specifically for al-Qaeda and was approved by the president to deal with interrogating terrorists, al-Qaeda specifically, which was this blackmail and pictures and torture. So now they move it over to a detainee situation, which aren't necessarily terrorists or even suspected terrorists. And what the genius of this whole thing was, in its evil way, was they had this book that was written in 1973 called The Arab Mind by a guy named Raphael Patai. And it was a psychological assessment of Arab men. And they took these points of shame with Arab men, sexual humiliation, and they sort of exploited it, not unlike, you know, people do with demographics and advertising soda and whatnot.
Sure.
And I think the genius of this whole thing and also the sickness of it was that they were going to take pictures of as many people as possible, whether they were guilty of anything or not, just detainees, you know, and blackmail them into working for them, you know, to counter the insurgency. And how they could, you know, they could think that, you know, that wouldn't be heinous, that all these photographic documents would be out there, or that how it wouldn't get out is baffling to me, you know, number one. And number two, that, you know, this guy Cambone could be, you know, so arrogant as to think that this would, you know, work in any way is beyond me.
I still think that Rumsfeld has to be the one who goes. I was thinking about this on the flight back from London this weekend when I was reading how Tony Blair, his approval ratings are, you know, the low, very, very low, and they think, you know, there's a sort of movement for Tony Blair, thinking that Tony Blair can't last until the fall. But how the British people still believe that troops should stay in Iraq. They don't want Iraq to sink into chaos and anarchy, but they believe that the politician who led them into Iraq under false pretenses, and now they're furious about the prison abuse, that the politician responsible has to go. And I think we'll start to see the same sort of separation in the minds of American people. We should still stay in Iraq. We want to help Iraq. But the politician, the people responsible for this mess, they have to go. And Bush has been trying to do a very clever job at tying the two things together. Because we should stay and help Iraq, therefore, you know, I should stay and Donald Rumsfeld should stay. We are the leaders who can do it. And that's just not true. I think that someone will have to go. It can't be, you know, it might be Bush in, we hope it's Bush in November. But right now, I think there will be mounting pressure. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if Rumsfeld goes.
Cambone's going to go. They're going to throw him Cambone.
I think Cambone is done. With getting rid of Rumsfeld is that Bush does not want to spend the summer dealing with a confirmation battle for whoever he gets to replace Rumsfeld. Because if he chooses Wolfowitz or any of that neoconservative...
Wolfowitz?
Yeah,
oh,
sure.
My God.
Remember,
like
Wolfowitz is a deputy defense... I believe he's a deputy
And the
defense.
Reason he's not the defense secretary is he's like a conscienceless little rat that, you know, just has no human capabilities whatsoever. You know, Rumsfeld, at his worst, and being that he is an evil genius as well, and I hate to even just use the word genius like that, he may be just evil, he has a way of, like, you know, sort of appealing to people with his sort of, you know, I'm just an old cranky guy, can't quite get my facts straight.
Well, he's like the Jack Nicholson. Like the Jack Nicholson of the cabinet. Well,
not
maybe
quite
he
as
can,
charming, almost.
Maybe he can develop some kind of health problem, or like other people in high-profile corporate jobs decide that he needs to spend more time with his family.
The problem, though, for Bush is that he must fill the job before the election. He cannot allow the defense secretary's job in the middle of a war to go unfilled.
But the summer holidays are good. He'll be at his ranch. You know, the news media are not paying that close attention to stuff that's going on. August will be a kind of a good time in between the conventions.
They'll have to call Congress in a special session. That
I don't think
everybody will pay
attention. I don't think anybody's going to take any breaks right now. I mean, 42%. His approval rating in Newsweek, 42%. I mean, that's way down.
I'm curious also about Congress, what's going to happen now that there's a report out that I saw somewhere today saying that a soldier sent a letter to 14 members of Congress alerting them about the abuses in the jails Iraq. And they've, you know, last week it was like, oh, shock, horror, we had no idea, what a scandal, let's look into it. Some of them clearly knew. Where were they? What were they doing?
In Congress?
Yes.
I think, well, they just pass the buck usually. You write your congressman, they see if something's being done about it on top of them, and then they write you back and go, this is being looked into.
Yeah, but have they forgotten that they are the sort of checks and balances part of this government? I mean, you know, that's sort of half asleep at the wheel.
Well, a lot of them have been bullied into a lot of these, you know, these... Ah, come on, word! Give me the word.
Get the man another cup
policies,
of tea.
Policies. Mm-hmm. They've been bullied into these policies by the momentum of fear and terror, and now like they're still not, you know, on an opportunistic level, unwilling to completely
Let
say,
me tell you something.
Speak against it.
There are a lot of people
yes,
in this
coward
country that are starting to realize that our soldiers are being played for suckers. And you watch what happens as these court martials start to unfold and people realize that Rumsfeld and them are allowing these seven people, or however many, to hold the bag.
Yeah.
When we come back here on Air America Radio.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
It just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive and I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. More violence in Iraq in the last several hours. Car bomb went off at a checkpoint in central Baghdad. The head of the Iraqi Governing Council, Izzedine Salim, was killed along with five other Iraqis. Two U.S. soldiers were injured. Salim was the second and highest ranking member of the U.S.-appointed council assassinated so far. Pentagon is saying no to a New Yorker magazine report that says Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld approved of a program designed to abuse Iraqi prisoners using physical coercion and sexual humiliation. Breakthrough for the gay community. Massachusetts is the first state in the nation to allow same-sex couples to wed as of today. Well over 260 gathered over the weekend to make the historic walk into marital bliss. And 50 years ago today, the U.S. Supreme Court issued its landmark decision on Brown versus the Board of Education, paving the way for integrated schools across the country. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
If you eBay or are thinking about using eBay or just want to make lots of cash buying and selling on eBay, then grab a pen to write down an important toll-free number. Last year, entrepreneur Adam Ginsberg did over $15 million in business on eBay. He wants to send you a free tape that explains how to make fast cash on eBay. He has engineered cash-generating techniques to sell products you would never think of and massively increase the value of items without spending much money. Using his program, you could develop a steady income by building your own eBay business. If you choose, you'll never have to work in an office again. Instead, you could sit back and turn eBay into your own private cash machine. You owe it to yourself to evaluate Adam's money-making opportunity absolutely free. Call right now, 800-931-18 to get his free tape. That's 800-931-18. Don't miss this limited-time offer to secure your financial freedom. Call 800-900-3118.
If you're an allergy sufferer and want non-drowsy prescription-strength medicine without a prescription, the choice is Allivert. Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, anywhere. It's non-drowsy relief even Claritin can't beat. Quick-dissolving Allivert. Allergy medicine right when you need it, wherever you are. Use as directed.
The Majority Report.
People who donate money, put their money where their mouth is on these issues, only one out of every two of those people voted.
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
If only we could get all the people that are listening to the show to actually vote.
This is a good time to remind our listeners, if you're not registering to vote, if you don't plan to vote, you're not allowed to listen to us anymore.
Air America's Majority Report. Weeknights 8 to 11 on Air America Radio.
Good morning. It's Monday. We're all worked up here. It's good. We're alive. We're awake. Mark Riley, Sue Alcott, 33 past the hour, Air America Radio Morning Sedition.
It's now time. We just got the dispatch from my guy who's in the Oval Office who takes us off of the President Bush's Palm Pilot every morning. Here's the president's schedule for today. 8 a.m., wake up. Note, after receiving honorary doctorate on Friday, everyone must call me Dr. Bush. No exceptions. 10 a.m., Dr. Bush amputates limb from G.I. Joe operation successful. 11:30 a.m., Dr. Bush condemns same-sex marriages taking place in Massachusetts. As a doctor, says conception among gays is medically impossible. 1 p.m., Dr. Bush speaks in Topeka, Kansas, on anniversary of Brown versus the Board of Education. Have Colin Powell eat at separate lunch counter. 2 p.m., Dr. Bush signs off on an attack ad that says, "Is John Kerry a doctor? I don't think so." 4:30 p.m., Dr. Bush plays video golf. 6 p.m., dinner. Dr. Bush performs open-heart surgery on pot roast. 8 p.m., Dr. Bush examines Laura. 9 p.m., lights out. Dr. Bush consults with pillow. Diagnosis, sleep. That's the schedule for Dr. Bush for today. Monday?
He's not a doctor. He just plays one in the White House.
Mm.
Dr. Bush!
Whoops. That was close, though.
That's
quite a thought, isn't it, though, of him in a black robe with a mortarboard on?
Hilarious.
Mm. Hilarious. No, I wasn't thinking hilarious. I was thinking alarming.
Hilarious, alarming.
Oh, this is what I read. He was somewhere at the weekend after he gave that speech. He was in St. Louis, I think, giving a speech in front of about 100 big money donors.
Mm-hmm.
And they had an array of old Packards and Cadillacs and old American cars. And the White House advance party made sure they had moved all the Rolls Royces and Bentleys out of the way so they couldn't have any non-American cars on camera while Dr. Bush was speaking.
For all those people that would have been out there like looking at that, that's what amazes me. About people out in the world who are sitting there watching something like that, that they would have
the
to
image
preempt,
control.
To preempt that concern. Like, for the one guy who's like, you know, I'm a real specialist with antique cars, and I know that one wasn't made. You know, it's unbelievable, because they will get mail like that, too. People do pay attention to that stuff.
But the micromanagement, or the micro way of thinking of people, this president maybe is not American enough because the donor has an antique Bentley. It's just like, whoa, you guys haven't got enough to think about?
He got burned on that bus tour.
Oh, with the Canadian bus?
Yeah, the bus was manufactured in Canada.
Yeah, but what they should have burned him on was the fact he was flying from location to location. He wasn't even on the darn bus for most of it.
The whole bus was a prop.
Yep.
So the cops are on board with Kerry. Is that what I'm gathering?
Yeah, IBPO, the International Brotherhood of Police Officers, who, by the way, have actually backed the winner in the last three presidential elections.
I wonder how that works. Could they be the guys that are protecting the ballot boxes? Could they be the guys that are, like, there for every step of the way of the election process? I'm not saying that they're corrupt or anything, but they're definitely the guys you want on your team.
But it's significant, isn't it? I mean, I think that, not just that they have backed traditionally backed the winners, but that they say that Bush has let them down and that he cut funding for all sorts of programs to put cops on the street.
And equipment.
And, you know, overtime pay, things that threaten the overtime pay of thousands of police officers. And it makes me think of what we mentioned, I think, some weeks ago about the danger zone pay for troops. That while Bush sings the praises of U.S. troops and Donald Rumsfeld goes in and says, "You're the greatest generation and you guys are doing brilliant work," they've actually cut the bonus that people get for being in a war zone. I mean,
and
it's very interesting because the military, you know, traditionally backs the Republican Party. If there'll be a similar backlash.
Well, he's hanging these guys out to dry in the military. You know, I mean,
like
you were saying, there's going to be backlash from that. And with the cops, I mean, some of these cops are probably afraid they're going to be replaced by, Halliburton contractors in cities across the country.
No, you know, part of the big problem here is that Bill Clinton, when he was president, authorized federal funding to put 100,000 new police officers on the streets of major cities across the country. In fact, the New York City Police Department was able to expand by about 35% from the early 1990s through 2000 as a direct result of the money that was generated by the federal government. Well, Bush, as Sue points out, cut the money that would have continued to fund new police officers.
And that he took a lot of, because of that, there's a lot of less cops on the streets, and a lot of them aren't getting the equipment they think they need to do their job effectively.
Sound familiar? Yeah. Sounds like troops in Iraq, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Not getting the equipment they need.
Because all that money's being funneled into contracting companies.
Well, part of the problem here in New York, too, is that there was a huge drain after September 11th. I mean, the police, a lot of the police officers who worked so heroically in the immediate aftermath of September 11th were guys with long amount, guys and women, I should say, with long amounts of time on the force. And early in 2002, they started to retire in huge, huge numbers. Well, the money has not really been there because New York City, of course, was in a budget crisis. The money to replace them was not there. Therefore, the police department has been at a much lower level during the Bush years than it was during the Clinton years. And I think that's what you're seeing some of these organizations like this responding to.
That's great. I mean, I think it's great that the cops are on board with Kerry. And now, and Kerry's finally starting to, like, you know, really talk about the economy a bit. He says he wants to roll back Bush's tax cuts for those earning more than $200,000 a year and use the savings to pay for his $650 billion 10-year proposal to provide 27 million more Americans with health care.
Yeah.
So he's talking about
many of them children who desperately need it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there really should be some kind of a comprehensive health care program. It seems as though the Congress, you know, really got a case of the shakes after Hillary Clinton's health care proposal back in the early 90s, where it was so, you know, I don't know how big it was, but it was a gigantic document. People found it unreadable, unable to follow that. So they kind of scratched the whole idea of trying to. There were like 40-some-odd million Americans that are currently without
it. And how are we the most advanced country in the world if that's the truth? You know what I mean? It's like, it's sad that people, like, you'd think that America should be able to, you know, give everybody health coverage, but now that the insurance companies are running the health care industry,
that's,
and the insurance
right.
companies are a huge lobby and always have been, you know, it's like a crime.
But what does that mean, the most advanced country in the world, simply because you have the largest military or the biggest economy or the most influential government politically? I mean, I think that just that phrase.
How about all of those things?
Yeah, all of the above.
Okay, that you have Dunkin' Donuts inside Walmart. I mean, there are some astounding advances America has made, but they
come
at a price.
What about on the arts level? What about on almost every level is America the most advanced country in the world?
What about poverty, lack of health care, infant mortality?
But that's everywhere,
that people
isn't
have to think about. No. It's disgraceful those things are that
Call
they are here.
At 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. We want to talk about what the most important issue is for this election.
In 1988, a weed appeared in the garden when George Herbert Walker Bush was sworn in as the 41st President of the United States. Over the next 4 years, that weed grew into a big bush. After a war with Iraq, a deficit buildup, and job losses at home, the people stormed the garden and chopped that bush down. But the conservative roots spread deep and wide and grew back. That little sprout grew into an even bigger bush. The son, George W. Bush, the 43rd President of the United States. Now, 4 years later, after another war with Iraq, another deficit buildup, and staggering job losses at home, it's time to weed the garden again. But this bush can't be trimmed. This bush needs to be ripped out by the roots. Help us weed the garden and go to our website at www.waxbush2004.com. It's time to wax Bush once and for all.
My company designs and builds offices for large corporations. After 10 years in business, I can handle just about any construction problem. But paying my bills on time, that's not always so easy.
Introducing the American Express Platinum Business Credit Card. It lets small business owners pay over time. There's no annual fee, plus you enjoy all the savings, services, and tools of Open, the Small Business Network. Apply now. Call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Paying over time? It helps me build my business.
Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
I'll just see who that is then.
Oh no! South American killer bees! They're going for my eyes!
A swarm of killer bees. That's one thing you don't want in your house. One thing you do want in your house is a better-looking roof with Plitanium plywood from Georgia-Pacific. Other roof sheathing materials can swell at the edges, creating an unsightly checkerboard pattern under your shingles. Plitanium roofs provide a more uniform surface. Plitanium plywood. Build it better.
Good morning. It's Monday. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. We're taking your calls at 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270. We're talking about what you think the most important issue in this election is. War, the economy, health care, whatever you think. Sue and I were just arguing about the about, you know, whose country is better, but I guess some of it has to do with her country having health care.
No, healthcare. I really
but on every other level, we
better.
Win! We win!
I just thought you it's a outsiders look at America in this very strange way. They're sort of baffled by, you know, how it is really kind of so, in some ways, so affluent and so powerful and so technologically advanced, but yet
why can't we have national healthcare?
Backward in poverty rates, you know, child infant mortality rates, you know, terrible schools, gun violence, and terrible social problems. Yeah, I was just questioning the sort of myth making aspect of that particular phrase, which I'm not sure.
No, America is great.
The greatest nation in the world.
It is. It is that, yes. Ken in Manhattan. Ken?
I see we're going nowhere here.
I'm sorry. Who am I talking to now? Ken, are you there?
No, I think you got David in Copenhagen.
Okay, David. How are you, David?
Okay, I'm doing all right.
Okay,
how are you doing?
We're pretty good, I think. We're starting to get kind of lively. What's on your mind, David?
Okay, well, I'm living in a great country because, you know, despite the high taxes, the health care and the education, university education is free. And
That's good.
Yeah, and I think this is the basic principle. Even rich people get it for free over here. And that means that when they pay their high taxes, they don't mind as much. And what happens in the U.S. is the middle class ends up paying a lot in taxes and don't get anything out of it. They have to pay high university costs. They have to pay for health care.
Right.
The poor can get, you know, maybe some scholarships, can get some, you know, some form of health care. It just makes everybody sort of against the system because they pay into it. They don't get anything out of it.
And I bet you people there probably learn stuff in college as well.
Well, the U.S. colleges are good, you know, but yeah, you do. I have my nephew's going to Cornell. He's paying something like, I think his parents are paying about $25,000 a year in here. It's free. In fact, you can get a free grant to go to school. They pay you several thousand a year.
Well, you just wait until the guy who does Girls Gone Wild comes to Copenhagen and the college performance level will drop. Thanks for your call, David. I appreciate it. We are talking about campaign issues, and I guess that was sort of a health care call, kind of. Fred, New York City. Fred?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, Fred.
Okay, to me, the most important campaign issue, which neither major party is doing with, since I live in New York, which is not just a blue state, but a solid blue state, I'm very tempted to vote third party because none of the two major parties are dealing with, say, the right of gays and lesbians to get married. Kerry won't come out for it. Neither of the two major parties.
But his state is enacting it today. You know,
I understand, but I'm talking about Senator Kerry
actually saying something
for president.
Right.
Neither of the major candidates are sticking up for Howard Stern and the FCC.
Right.
Whether you agree with what he has to say or not, he's got a right to say it. That's what free expression is all about.
Absolutely.
None of the major parties are talking about how wrong the war on drugs is. It's destroying human liberty. It's raping the Constitution. And neither of the two major parties want to deal with that. And at the same time, so many Democrats have the chutzpah to wonder why Ralph Nader's getting so much traction.
I agree with you. Thanks for your call, Fred. That was a, you know, please call us at 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0, sedition@airamericaradio.com. That was when we weren't even counting on the civil liberties, not civil liberties, but
personal
free,
freedom.
Personal
I mean, that was a pretty provocative call, actually.
Yeah.
You start talking about, the, you know, who's not talking about these specific issues, if those issues are in fact your, you know, your primary concern.
It's interesting that Kerry hasn't said anything about gay marriage. I mean, considering that it's happening today, everyone's celebrating in Massachusetts. It's a big day. And Kerry, you would think, would at least show up for one gay wedding.
Yeah, he's opposed to legalization. I think he's in favor of recognizing civil union.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's come out in favor of gay marriage.
Why don't
is that just because he's worried about looking too liberal, or they just don't want this to become a – he doesn't want it to become a campaign issue. He might want to deal with it at a state level and at a sort of, you know, moral, open-minded, tolerant level, but he doesn't want it to become a big sort of stick. You know, with which he can be beaten. No, he doesn't have the kind of issue with which the Bushes can, the Bushies,
you know,
can beat
right,
him with a big stick.
People hate that about politicians. People hate the idea, well, I don't want to get beat up, so I'm not going to take a position on an issue that I know I should take a position on because I don't want to. Well, hey, step out, beat up,
take
fight
a
back.
Yeah.
Take the shot. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, Kerry is a bad person. Politicians do this all the time. But I think it's one of the things that Americans detest about the system and about individual
politics. And it's especially, egregious when, as you come up for an election. Maybe once someone's elected, they'll take a bolder stance. Sorry, Mark, go ahead.
John in Connecticut. John?
Yeah, hi. About all that, though, Kerry and Bush both have research that shows they can't come out, Kerry can't come out and do the gay thing and all that because the numbers will tumble and it'll be like Mondale all over again. Even though everyone, that caller who had those points,
yeah,
he should rest assured that Kerry is his man. I mean, really.
Yeah, no, I feel that too. I don't think there's any room for voting independent right now. I hate to say that in some respects, but, you know, really the agenda really has to be to get Bush out of office. It has to be that at all costs because everything he represents is corrupt, and, you know, it really has to be that. I like what Nader says, but come on, man.
I agree with you 100%. I wish that they weren't following the research all the time.
We'll be back with the Liberal Agenda here on Air America Radio.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza man.
Hey, you're not the pizza man. You're the cable guy. Again.
Price patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-264-0071. That's 800-264-0071 for new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now, 800-264-0071.
Hey, it's summertime, all right, and all that summer sun and heat you're taking in right now can really dry out your lips. So here's a little tip to help keep lips moisturized and protected. ChapStick Lip Moisturizer. That's right. ChapStick Lip Moisturizer's got SPF 15 and 10 moisturizers, like aloe and vitamin E, to moisturize summer-dried lips and help keep them feeling great. Because summertime is ChapStick time, too. Use as directed.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Good morning, Monday morning. Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. We got a couple more callers lingering, so I'd like to take those calls. We're talking about issues that are important in the campaign. Mark, could you talk to us, Mark?
Good morning, Mark.
What's up, buddy?
Good morning.
Hello.
How are y'all doing?
I'm pretty good, man. So you wanted to say something about Nader?
Well, this weekend on Meet the Press.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, McCain said he wouldn't accept an offer from John Kerry to be his vice president.
Right.
They also showed a USA Today poll with Kerry leading 43 to 42% over Bush.
Nice.
And Nader picking up 5% of the vote.
Right.
But what I was thinking was, how about a Kerry-Nader ticket to prevent an Al Gore-ish debacle from happening this time?
I heard, well, Nader claims that Kerry's not taking his phone calls. I saw Nader on Not Meet the Press, Face the Nation, no, Wolf Blitzer. And apparently he's called Kerry personally a few times. He's called the Kerry people a few times. And they're not taking his calls. I think there's a lot of room for that, for the Kerry campaign to either, you know, take Nader in, or at least, you know, sort of listen to him and make him a policy advisor, certainly. But Nader seems to believe that he's not concerned about the thing that happened with Gore, because he feels that most of the people, or a lot of them, that he's going to get are people who are disenfranchised from the Bush umbrella.
Conservatives.
Yes.
Yeah, straight up conservatives. And
right.
there have been allegations, none proven yet, that conservatives are actually helping Nader from a financial standpoint. Now, no one's been able to prove it, but there's always, especially in Democratic
But that wouldn't
Party.
Be the same as, like, supporting him. That's like supporting him so he'll undermine.
Exactly.
That, oh, yeah. Well, does that count as conservative support?
Yes, it absolutely
Oh, my
does.
God.
You write the check, you are supporting. Yes.
Why couldn't he make Nader head of FDA or something?
I don't think Nader would do it. I mean, Nader's a very proud, sort of like, you know, iconoclastic guy who doesn't want to be completely appropriated as his whole being. Steve in Port Jefferson, New York. Sorry.
First of all, I want to tell you I'm so happy that I had to hang on so long through a series of commercial ads replacing the public service ads. Congratulations, guys.
Thank you very much.
Wonderful to have you folks on the air.
Real advertising.
Real advertising. Well, no, the other isn't real advertising, but at least this advertising brings some money in. And it's also very interesting to listen to the identity of the companies who are advertising with us. It's very, very exciting. I think that the single most important issue in the upcoming election is the preservation of constitutional democracy in the United States.
Hallelujah.
These guys are out to destroy the Constitution. They already are taking steps to do that. The Patriot Act by itself destroys the Fourth, which is protection against unreasonable search and seizure, the Due Process Clause of the Fifth, and the guarantee to a speedy jury trial of the Sixth. The thing that is most wrong, in my view, with the Gay Rights Amendment is that it destroys the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th. And once you name one group that is not entitled to equal protection of the laws, you can name any group that is not entitled to equal protection of the laws.
That's a very
this
good point. You're talking about the ban.
Issue. Hmm?
You're talking about the ban. The gay marriage ban.
The proposed constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage.
Mm-hmm. All those things that you're talking about have a slippery slope to them if they're actually enacted full on.
But you know what's important about what he just said? They're all possible. They're all happening.
Yeah,
They're all ongoing.
Yeah.
You know, there's a Patriot Act, too. There is talk of a constitution. All these things are going on before our very eyes.
I talked to some of the other, like, I had an argument about the ACLU.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the ACLU is a very necessary thing, you know, to fight for people's rights no matter what, to stand up for the Constitution no matter what. And I had a conversation with some people who, like, are, you know, they're big Israel supporters, and they're just sort of like, it's a different world now. You know, we cannot, you know, protect everybody because now terrorism has changed everything. And
that's right, though. That's not wrong. Hey, beeps.
Yeah, it has changed everything, but you can't start. You've got to make the Constitution breathe, not deny it its power. Here's a liberal agenda from the Streisand compound.
Write these down. When children play, one, when children play cops and robbers, tell them instead to call it oppressors and unjustly accused. Two, take empty Avion bottles to recycling center. Place redemption money in fund to buy Pilates machines for inner city kids. Three, to be empathetic, have symbolic gay marriage with member of the opposite sex. Interesting. Four, sleep with the enemy. Well, assume they're the enemy since you don't really always know the people you sleep with. There you go. I know that feeling. Five, when stopped at a red light, really crank up the Norah Jones CD to show that you still rock. That's today's liberal agenda.
Or pull out the unintelligible British driver's license, which is about 4 feet long and has a lot of codes and no picture, and they pretty much say, oh, just please go.
When we come back here on Morning Sedition, the Presidential Daily Briefing, the Salon.com story today, plus the Pope to Catholic women don't marry Muslims. This is Air America Radio.
The scene here is a bit chaotic as throngs of people learn a wart treatment that could once only be performed by a doctor can now be done at home. Wartner, yes, Wartner has made the freezing method doctors use available over the counter, forcing messy liquids into exile. In one application, Wartner eliminates most warts in 2 weeks or less. So will people miss the hassle of going to their doctors? At risk of sounding biased, you've got to be kidding. Wartner, the world's number one wart freezing brand. Look for Wartner in the foot care section. Wartner, the world's number one wart freezing brand.
If you're an allergy sufferer and want non-drowsy prescription-strength medicine without a prescription, the choice is Allivert. Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, anywhere. It's non-drowsy relief even Claritin can't beat. Quick dissolving Allivert. Allergy medicine right when you need it, wherever you are. Use as directed.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The leadership of the Iraqi Governing Council, Izzeddin Salim, is dead along with eight other Iraqis this morning following a car bombing at a central Baghdad checkpoint. The assassination of Salim is a setback for the Bush administration with respect to plans for a transfer of power in June. He was the highest-ranking member of the U.S.-appointed council and the second one to be killed. Fighting continues to be on the rise in the Shiite heartland in southern Iraq, where American jets bombed militia positions in the city of Nasiriyah early this morning. This after fighters loyal to radical Muslim cleric Muqtada al-Sadr drove Italian forces to abandon a base there. More finger-pointing within the Bush administration. State Secretary Colin Powell says he was misled by the Central Intelligence Agency. Powell made the charge on television's Meet the Press yesterday expressing concern. He said some of the intelligence and evidence were deliberately misleading last year. Agency gave information that helped shape his opinion for a justification for war with Iraq a year ago. As the situation worsens in Iraq, John Kerry is shifting his campaign focus to the home front, challenging President Bush on his handling of the economy. In Las Vegas yesterday, the Democratic presidential challenger told the International Brotherhood of Teamsters the Bush administration is not answering the needs of the middle class.
What are you going to do about the problems that real workers are facing, the middle class of America, on a daily basis? And for 4 years, they've looked at you almost with scorn, certainly with indifference, and they basically said, you're on your own.
Kerry also picked up the endorsement this week of the International Brotherhood of Police Officers, which supported George Bush in the year 2000. For decades, they've stood guard against an invasion by North Korea into the South, but now officials say some of the 37,000 U.S. troops in South Korea may be moved to Iraq. It's a sign of the difficulty faced by the Army in finding enough forces for the next rotation into Iraq. South Korea fears that a cut in U.S. military presence might weaken the two allies' combined defense readiness against North Korea. North Korea. It's legal in Massachusetts for the first time in the nation's history. Same-sex couples are allowed to wed starting today. City clerks in Cambridge, Massachusetts have handed out the first marriage license applications to gay couples. The United States is now one of just four countries in the world where homosexuals can legally marry. First couple to fill out the paperwork showed up at midnight Saturday, a full 24 hours ahead of time to get the first spot in line. And today marks the 50th anniversary of the landmark decision of Brown versus the Board of Education issued by the U.S. Supreme Court. It was the unprecedented work of the late Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall when he was a young lawyer. High Court at the time found that separate educational facilities were inherently unequal. 50 years later, a Harvard University study determined that 30% of blacks attend schools that have white majorities. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Worry is emotional torture. It consumes you and robs you of happiness and peace of mind. Anxiety is worry gone out of control, and you can't help it. It tears at your nerves and rips at your heart. It makes your mind race in circles and keeps you from enjoying the moment. Sometimes people turn to medication or alcohol for relief, but medications can have negative side effects, and some medications, as well as alcohol, can be addictive, causing more problems. Anxiety and the worry that goes with it ruins relationships and careers and tears families apart. And people that love you, they tell you to just stop it, that you're doing it to yourself, but you can't because you don't know how. I can show you how. I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. Please, let me send you a powerful free tape that will provide you with insight and hope. Call 1-800-600-8892. And I'll send you this wonderful free tape. That's 1-800-600-8892.
Seasonal allergies are in full bloom, Ragweed.
A great time to make them suffer, Pollen.
Why take an OTC allergy medicine that stops working in 6 hours? Just one dose of Once Daily Allegra with fexofenadine lasts up to 4 times longer than one dose of most OTC allergy medicines. Comparison based on label directions. See our ad in Prevention Magazine. Visit Allegra.com or call 1-800-ALLEGRA. For people 12 and over, side effects are low and may include headache, cold, or backache.
Long-lasting Allegra takes the fun out of our allergy season.
Talk to your doctor. Today, take Once Daily Allegra. The relief goes on.
While you can't see brilliant colors on the radio, you can use them in your business. That's why the Xerox WorkCenter M24 digital color copier printer is attractive to anyone who listens to the voice of reason. The lease price is a low $189 a month. You get brilliant Xerox color for less than 9 cents a page, plus the Xerox Total Satisfaction Guarantee. To get all the colors you can't see on the radio, do the most reasonable thing.
Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for business lease details. Additional per copy charge.
When I get one of my headaches, every minute of that pounding, throbbing pain is a minute too long. So when I take something, I want to make sure I choose the one that will get rid of that tough pain faster.
The moment of choice. Tylenol or Advil for faster headache relief. Truth is, Advil Liquid Gels rush relief to your headache faster than Tylenol. And Advil Relief is stronger, better relief, too.
Headache's gone already. Glad I chose Advil.
For faster headache relief, advance to Advil Relief.
Randy Rhodes.
You know the picture where they're all laying on the floor, naked? Do you know that the lawyer for one of these guys actually referred to it as they were embracing? Men forced on the floor, nude, on top of each other, posed for a picture, and they're embracing. They fell in love, and there's nothing you could do. You know, Cupid's crazy. This is what they're saying. They fell in love, and then they fell on the floor in a pile. It's just one of those things that happened.
Randy Rhodes, afternoons 3 to 7 on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron here along with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. It's 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, Monday. George W. prepares for today's visit to Recovery Corner shortly, and plus we'll read his top-secret presidential daily briefing for today. That's all coming up. Right now I'm with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. Good morning.
Hey,
good
morning.
Sue was in England all weekend. Mark was at the health club hanging on.
His weekend was cheaper than mine.
Hanging on to the idea that we can stay young.
For dear life.
Yeah. I was at home taking advantage of myself, both through food and autoerotic hobbying. Autoerotic hobbying is what I'd like to call it. You know what I mean? There are many magazines designed for autoerotic hobbying. But I don't want to go into that. You know, I'm tired. You know, it's like I argued with some guy. I got an email from someone, and I had an argument with somebody. And Sue and I almost just had an argument about the Constitution, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that somehow. An annoying commercial break.
Let's start the argument. Let's start the dance here.
Well, there's just no argument. That I was talking to people that believe that America should completely militarize its streets and send Muslims home. Is that how you feel?
Really? We started on that? I don't remember that bit.
Well, we were talking about, you know, that it was a terror, that, you know, that terrorism has changed everything.
Oh, okay.
The tone of culture. And as far as the Patriot Act is concerned and the Constitution is concerned, at what point, what sort of compromises are we willing to make constitutionally to
Yeah, and I think it's a fascinating, you're absolutely right, it's a fascinating, and it's very, but it's very blurry. I mean, I don't buy into the line that, you know, Patriot Act 2 is all bad. I think it's very problematic, and you know, the left would like it to be kind of all bad because it's Bush's Patriot Act 2, and the right would like to pretend that it's all about making things more secure. But that whole gray line between how you balance an increase in security
rights.
And what how you detract from their liberty
right.
is a fascinating area you know, we could do a whole show on that.
It's really touchy stuff, but I actually talk to people that really believe, like, you know, put them all under suspicion, get rid of any of them, and watch the rest.
Well, there've been plenty of articles written, specifically here in New York, by columnists who say that there ought to be a hard and fast limit on the number of Muslims, practitioners of Islam, no matter where they come from,
right.
into this country.
Right.
And that they ought to be surveilled the entire time while they're in the country. And at the first sign of trouble, deport them.
At the first sign of trouble, you take pictures of them when you force them to masturbate.
But then what happens? Then when somebody converts, you say, "Oh, sorry, we've got one extra. Somebody has to leave now."
But that's the whole thing.
It's nonsensical.
No, there's no deterrence.
There's no deterrence, though, to the people that, you know, if it's an inside job, if there are people within this country, whether they're cells or they're not cells, there are plenty of people that are going to, you know, pop open to this ideology, you know, that don't have it now.
Well, you see this all in places, in fact, across the world. If you look at al-Sadr support,
mm-hmm.
if you look at, there was a piece on 60 Minutes last night that Christiane Amanpour did about Muslims in France.
Right.
And about how, you know, the Islamic fundamentalists are appealing to that same poor, disaffected, young group of people that Islam is focusing on all over the world.
In Britain,
right.
too.
Yeah. Now, the question then becomes, okay, if fundamental Islam is able to reach those kids, how come there's no countervailing? Is there anyone trying to engage them on any other level? Or are people simply being pushed into, in France, high-rise housing developments, where they live lives of abject poverty, they form gangs, they get involved in violence, they completely abuse women, and where is the counterbalancing force? Where are people saying, hey, you don't have to live your life like this?
Yeah, why don't we address poverty, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
yeah.
Address poverty, but also address that vacuum in people's lives, which is partly caused by poverty. But it's, you know, removing poverty is not going to necessarily remove that vacuum.
And that's the biggest gap between the West and those people is that they're trying to say, look, if you just let McDonald's into your life, American television, movies, that void will be filled.
But a lot of it is that fight for identity in a country like France where there's, you know, increasing immigration and there's this kind of struggle that, you know, your parents are from one culture, as there were so many immigrant families here in the United States, but yet you want to integrate, but you feel closed out of, you know, being part of the mainstream, the whole language, you know, the cultural values inside your home that crunch up against those of the, you know, mainstream outside. It's basically a big fight for someone's much more complicated identity than a person who comes from a family with parents from one culture living in one country in a community where people feel that they belong. I think it is a poverty thing, but I think that what we have now through the, you know, Western democracies, United States, France, Britain, is, you know, a fight for people's identities.
Well, I just wonder how they're going to reach out to these kids, because they're not just here in the States, they're not just in France, they're not just in the Middle East, they're all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they are obviously susceptible to people sitting there and saying, we have a way for you. And unfortunately, I think in this country particularly, we don't say that to young people.
It has to be about politicization. I think it has to be about preventing people from feeling disenfranchised, feeling that they don't count, feeling as though that, you know, their voices, opinions, views are not heard and they don't have the power to change things or to feel included. That's what's really crucial.
Well, in this country, they do it through, you know, exploiting their desires. Through trends, through music, through, you know, goods and services that are available, you know, that'll make them like all the other kids. There's nothing much deeper than that that goes on. There's
but see, that's the mythology, that all the other kids are really living that life. See, that's what advertising does, is convince you that everybody else is leading this life that you can't lead.
Right.
Because you don't have enough money. And at some point, you get disconnected from the notion that, yes, there are other people in the world that really don't have enough money.
Right.
To live that kind of life as well. And, you know, kids that live in the Harlems and the Brownsvilles of the world, they don't know, they don't realize that kids that live in West Virginia may not be of the same race, but they're living the same kind of experience.
Same conditions.
The same experience of having to do without, of having to live from paycheck to paycheck, or in cities across this country, the notion that you don't know where you're living from day to day.
I suppose idealistically something that you would think that, you know, technology and the internet and communication would be this sort of great leveler, people being able to communicate, but the irony of which is unless you have access to a computer in your home, is that you can't be part of this great community. And
or
I think increasingly people are shut out. The people who most need to know there are other people out there experiencing the same frustrations don't have the finances or the access to the media.
Nor do their schools, and sometimes their libraries don't either. You know, that the public school funding also stops, you know, that technology from getting into the hands just, you know, on an educational level.
Yeah. So you get disenfranchised. How disenfranchised do you think Colin Powell's aide feels this morning? After getting caught up in that debacle on Meet the Press. Now, that was a taped interview with General Powell, Secretary of State Powell, over the weekend. And there was a situation where Tim Russert was getting ready to ask him one final question. And, boy, did things get a little strange after that. Let's hear that little exchange.
Finally, Mr. Secretary, in February 2003, you placed your enormous personal credibility before the United Nations and laid out a case against Saddam Hussein, citing...
He's still asking me questions.
No.
He was not. Tim, I'm sorry I lost you.
I'm right here, Mr. Secretary. I would hope they would put you back on camera. I don't know who did that.
We really...
I think that was one of your staff, Mr. Secretary. I don't think that's appropriate.
Get this Emily out of the way. Bring the camera back, please. I think we're back on, Tim. Go ahead with your last question.
Thank you very much, sir.
I love that. Emily, get out of the way. Because what it is he's so angry, but he's still quite contained.
I mean, he
could have cursed. He could have got an expletive, or he could have been like, you know, Emily, you know.
That happened later.
Really. It was like, Emily, get a new job. Emily's her resume's being sent out now as we speak. She's up early.
It was a sort of beautiful political moment, wasn't it, really? Because it shows, I mean, I don't know, I can well imagine that just that the producer felt the time had run out, as happens when you're managing a big guy in an interview like that.
It was supposedly time sensitive. And by the way, the woman's name is Emily Miller, who's deputy press secretary.
You're looking for someone, an assistant of some kind.
Well, it's his aide. I'm sorry. It wasn't his producer. But that's, you know, what happens when someone is an aide to a big politician and they feel the network's taken up too much time, then they do try to shut down the interview. But
it sounded like she didn't know that they weren't still taping.
Maybe not. But you could tell it from Colin Powell's point of view is that this was sort of his moment. I mean, here's a guy whose credibility has been undermined at home, who's been in the Middle East, you know, over the weekend and got a very cool reception at the World Economic Forum and was not able to satisfy Arab leaders who are angry about the prison abuse scandal and don't think that that Washington has done enough on Middle East peace. They think that Washington is far too pro-Israel. And he wanted that last question. He wanted to answer a question about his credibility. And he went on to say to Tim Russert, the interviewer, that he regrets testifying and about the weapons of mass destruction and felt that he misled people with information that wasn't accurate. He was disappointed and he regretted it. And
I think
his own, you know, personal rehabilitation, he really wants to get that question out. So it was actually a really beautiful political moment.
Handlers, don't you just hate them?
He also said that the information he did have was the best that he thought that they had at that moment, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so. But he said that he realizes now that it was
bad.
Was not.
And also, he got upset in some of his talking about the Arab response to the bird killing. He said that there wasn't enough. There was no Arab response.
They were not condemnatory.
Right.
Although that's not true, that there was none, because there was plenty. Some, we talked about some of that on Fridays.
Yeah. But I guess on with the big guys.
On official level, maybe.
Still ahead, Recovery Corner, and up next, Dream Diary, and more here on Air America Radio.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone, and since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter. But in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CortiSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CortiSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316.
A lot of birds winter here. You go out to the wetlands, you have a pretty strong likelihood of seeing bald eagle.
It's also an important nursery ground for fish.
Crystal Kane and Dr. Michael McCrander are environmentalists. They're helping restore Louisiana's sensitive coastal wetland.
Louisiana has about 40% of the nation's wetlands.
But 80% of the wetland losses have occurred in Louisiana.
Their help is vital to the wetland, to our energy needs, and to the companies they work for, Shell and its affiliates.
As you lose the wetland buffer, you lose your protection. And when you lose your protection, it impacts our country's energy.
If the system goes away, all of our options are gone. Shell understands that.
While the wetland also protects a quarter of the country's energy supply, that's not the only reason these two are here.
It's our backyard.
To find out more, visit Shell.com.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Good morning. It's Monday. I am Mark Maron. It is Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. I am with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott.
Hey.
Covering a lot of things, talking about news stories. I'm trying to keep up. It is now 20 past the hour, and it's time for a segment that loved by many, hated by few. Dream Diary, which is so for that one woman who sent the vilest, full of nasty email that she wrote it like four or five times, it's now time for you to go maybe shower. Go shower while I do my Dream Diary, you nasty liberal bully. So this is something my therapist asked me to do, and I like sharing it because I think it's important to the world, because I'm that important. Here we go, Dream Diary for last night. I'm in a meadow somewhere. The sun is shining through some kind of diamond, so there's a sparkling rainbow design on the grass. There are hundreds of people there dressed up. There are flowers. I'm at a wedding. I'm officiating at a wedding. Rabbi Marin. Weddings, funerals, bar mitzvahs, the occasional bris. I look down under the hoopah to check out who the happy couple is. It's Bush and Cheney. They're both barefoot. They're wearing beads and loose-fitting caftans. They hold hands and beam at each other. They start singing to each other. Bush sings Cherish to Cheney, and Cheney sings to Bush, you know, if a picture paints a thousand words, why can't I paint you? All the gay people in the audience are rolling their eyes and making gagging noises. When it comes time to exchange rings, Bush and Cheney lock each other in handcuffs and throw the key into the congregation. Then they smash the glass, which is weird. It's weird because it was like, it was a glass, but it was shaped like Richard Clark's head. Mazel tov, everyone yells, and Cheney pumps his fist and shouts, we're finally legal, Bush shouts. I can collect life insurance when you finally have that heart attack. They rip off their caftans, and they make out for like 5 minutes. I cry a little. A DJ starts playing Cher really loud. Everyone starts dancing, drinking apple martinis, exchanging business cards. The music and the people and the diamond rainbow light make me feel so good. I dance with Harvey Fierstein for 3 days. When I wake up, my bed was covered with fake leopard fur. Wow, where was I? What does that all mean?
Now, you know what it all means? Let me tell you what the key to that dream was.
Okay.
The apple martinis. It just shows what a vacuous wedding it really was.
So is it all about the drink for me?
Absolutely.
There's some deep part of me that's just like, God, I need a drink.
What do you think Laura and Lynn were doing?
Knowing Lynn Cheney, judging by the book that she wrote, they were probably getting married in a separate ceremony that I wasn't allowed to officiate at.
Mark Maron, you have some strange dreams.
Yeah, they keep getting weirder, don't they?
Well, there's nothing wrong with them.
Speaking about Muslims, the Pope said, all you Catholic guys and girls, Catholic gals and guys, no Muslims for you.
Especially Catholic women.
Catholic women.
Dean Obadella? Now, he was the product of a union between a Catholic woman and a Muslim man.
And one of the nicest guys I know in comedy.
And what happened? He turned into a comic.
Dean was a comic who appeared with us, about 3 weeks, a month ago or so?
Yeah.
Yeah, funny guy. But, I mean, if it was up to the Pope, he wouldn't be here. He'd be gone.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know about all that. You know, it's weird. About intermarriage in any sort of religion or cultural things,
there's always something. I don't know.
They always tell you not
people
to.
Off of. Look, I have a next door neighbor. The husband's Moroccan, the wife is Trinidadian. Mm-hmm. Only in America does stuff like that happen, I would imagine. But if people are in love, if people feel like they want to get married, whether they're straight, gay, Muslim, Christian, whatever, why stop them? Why make it sound as if that can't happen? Yeah, the Pope is right to say that some Muslims, not all Muslims, don't have a great regard for human rights. Some Catholics don't have a great regard for human rights. Some Episcopalians don't have a great regard
right.
for human rights. You know, there's that in every religion. But don't use religion to say to people, you can't or should not seek a union if that's what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Yeah, love is, you can't really, you can't define love or why it happens or who it happens
with. No,
you
can't. No, absolutely.
You can decide whether or not you should follow that love and whether or not it's such a great idea.
you know what you made me think of now? That Elvis Presley song, Follow That Dream.
Really?
Just came into your head?
Yeah, it just came into my head. It's disgusting.
I've been in love before in my life where I realized that, hey, maybe this wasn't the best idea in the world, you know, but then...
it's so much fun I'm carrying on.
I did. You know, I fell in love, and you make choices. Like, you never know sometimes when you're in love whether it's going to last more than a few days. You know, like, I believe in love, you know, and I believe that there's such a thing as being in love, but sometimes it's only for a few days, and you really don't know how long it's going to last and what changes.
You go through the ups and the downs and the this and that.
You choose to commit to it, you know.
I think the point is that they're trying to say that the Vatican documents, there's the bitter experience, shows that it's a marriage between a Catholic woman and a Muslim requires a particularly careful and in-depth preparation. And I don't think that that's wrong. I don't think that any marriage really should be entered into without careful and in-depth preparation. That's the reason that many marriages come unstuck is that people don't do that because they don't look at marriage as anything more than, you know, we're in love and therefore we'll make it work out. There's an almost amount of practicality. Once you have children, addressing cultural differences and value systems and what your expectations are, and these are all the sort of the boring things that kind of run up and kind of hit you in the face kind of far too late. You know, what kind of school do you want your children to go to? You know, do you if you're from a mixed background, which country do you want them to grow up in?
Or do you want to have children, period? I mean, because that is the question.
They change, too, some of these things, right?
I mean, but, you know, I see, the thing that bothers me about this Vatican is this is a document that they come out with called The Love of Christ Towards Migrants.
What, that's the name of the document?
That's the name of the document. The Love of Christ Toward Migrants.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. Is he talking about farm workers? Is he talking about Cesar Chavez or something? I don't understand.
We have to hope it's maybe it's a bad translation from the Italian. But you know what? The Catholic Church has, you know, the most traditional Catholic Church has always discouraged marriage between Catholics and non-Catholics.
Right.
And people have always ignored it.
Don't all religions pretty much do that? I mean, I'm a Jew, and I was always told that, you know, I should marry a Jew, even if I'm not a Jewy Jew. I remember one time I was in Vegas with my grandma Goldie when she was still alive. God bless her. She was sitting with, we had some big family gathering there. We all met, sitting with my grandmother, and she's like, Mark, listen, I just want you to know that you might not meet a Jewish girl. And I just want to say that whatever you do, as long as you're happy, I want you to know it's okay with me. So I looked right in her eyes and said, Grandma, I'm dating a black woman.
And
she
what?
She looked at me and she says, Mark, as long as she's Jewish, I don't care.
But you're, Mark Riley is right, is that you really don't want the church coming out with an outright ban. If they do, I think it's counterproductive. All it does is
turn people away.
Yeah. And you know, there's a lot of ignoring of the most extreme teachings and you know, orders from the Catholic Church, whether it's on birth control or, you know, actually showing up at church. This doesn't seem the smartest way to keep up your numbers.
Especially,
but I guess
when
what
falling.
Can they do? This is from the Vatican, that they have to toe the most rigid line.
And their numbers are falling.
Yeah, their numbers are falling. And you know, people are kind of selective about what from the Vatican they pay attention to and what they take to heart. Straight ahead, the presidential daily briefing. The Salon.com story of the day, courtesy of Andrew Coburn. You on the phones, plus Recovery Corner. This is Air America Radio.
Mary, can you overnight these to Boston?
Sure, do you want them first thing or... It's a meteor and it's coming right at me!
Not many things knock you out like a migraine.
I suppose you'll want to take the rest of the day off then.
But you can knock out a migraine with Ralpax. Ralpax Alitriptan Hydrobromide relieves migraine pain and symptoms such as nausea and sensitivity to light and sound. For some people, it starts to work in 30 minutes. Ask your doctor. Call 1-866-3-RALPAX or go to RELPAX.com. Ralpax. Don't let a migraine keep you down. Only your doctor can decide if Ralpax is right for you. If you have certain types of heart disease, a history of stroke, TIA, or uncontrolled blood pressure, you should not take Ralpax. Very rarely certain people, even some without heart disease, have had serious heart-related problems. Talk to your doctor if you have risk factors for heart disease, such as smoking, high blood pressure, or high cholesterol, or if you're pregnant or nursing. Certain medicines that are potent CYP3A4 inhibitors should not be taken with Ralpax, so talk to your doctor if you're taking other medicines. See our ad in Fitness Magazine.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The leadership of the Iraqi Governing Council is dead, along with eight other Iraqi nationals following a car bomb blast in central Baghdad at a local checkpoint. Assassination was another setback for the Bush administration. It was a flat no from the Pentagon today to a New Yorker magazine story that says Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld rubber-stamped a program aimed at abusing Iraqi prisoners using physical coercion and sexual humiliation. The United States is now one of four countries on the planet where homosexuals can legally marry. It's legal in the state of Massachusetts as of today. And violence marred the general elections yesterday in the Dominican Republic. Three people were killed and several others were wounded when violence broke out in a voting line between supporters for President Hipólito Mejía and backers of his rival. The nation's poor economy is the number one issue among voters. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Make every day bolder. Introducing the new bolder taste of Maxwell House French Roast. You told us you wanted a more full-bodied coffee. We listened. Today we custom roast our beans for a new, bolder flavor. Try the new taste of Maxwell House French Roast. It's a bold new way
to make every day good to the last drop. Maxwell House.
My company designs and builds offices for large corporations. After 10 years in business, I can handle just about any construction problem. But paying my bills on time, that's not always so easy.
Introducing the American Express Platinum Business Credit Card. It lets small business owners pay over time. There's no annual fee, plus you enjoy all the savings, services, and tools of Open, the Small Business Network. Apply now. Call 1-800-NOW-OPEN.
Paying over time? It helps me build my business.
Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply.
LendingTree.com presents 2 steps for controlling the home buying process. Step 1. Go to LendingTree.com and get up to 4 great mortgage offers within hours. Step 2. Stay at LendingTree.com and get up to 4 leading real estate agents within hours. So, to choose the mortgage and agent that's right for you, call 1-800-555-TREE or visit LendingTree.com. See website for details and state license disclosures. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply.
The Al Franken Factor.
Hi, I'm Al Franken. Monday on the Al Franken Factor, the Reich stuff with former Treasury Secretary Robert Reich. We'll take an illicit peek into the garbage can that is Rush Limbaugh's mind. And what's up with President Bush? What's he been up to lately? Bush, Rush, and Reich, Monday on the Factor.
Al Franken and Catherine Lanfer, weekdays noon to 3 on Air America Radio.
Good morning. Monday morning. That's
hey,
good. That's
hey.
Good. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott on Morning Sedition. Just got read over an email a minute ago about someone going, Mark, you're wrong. America's not that great all the time. There's many things about America that aren't good.
Hey, that person's agreeing with me.
Yeah.
But it's very hard for me to say it. Like, what is that person with a British accent doing saying not everything's perfect in America?
Oh, there were 20 of those.
I'm
but
sure.
The one at the... No, I'm kidding.
Look, no. Everybody knows it's not perfect. There's no perfect place anywhere on planet Earth.
But I will say that it is one of the most open-minded and tolerant and accommodating of countries.
That's
you can
the
make
hell
your
right
way
out
here. No, it is.
It really does.
Is she backpedaling?
No, it's not.
The thing is, I think it's because, you know, it is so open and the ability of people to come here from different countries and kind of make a life is astounding.
I think the
point
she's
trying to... That's why we're always so, critical of the infringement of civil rights, because it's so counter to everything is this great democracy that we expect from America. It disappoints us.
I think she's also talking about that with a lot of advances, you know, technologically and scientifically, we are starting to fall behind a bit. Today, our Salon.com story of the day is about a forgotten aspect of the Iraq War. The oil, rising gas prices in this country, and a tight oil supply give the U.S. more incentive to profit from the oil riches of Iraq. But will Iraq see any of that money? Joining us now from Washington, D.C. is Andrew Coburn, co-author of Out of the Ashes, The Resurrection of Saddam Hussein. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning to you.
So the United States is making sure that the Iraqis don't get their hands on their own oil. Is that true?
Looks like it. I mean, the U.S. swiped it when it conquered Iraq a year ago and chose no inclination whatsoever to hand it back.
Well, I don't know. You would think that if we wouldn't have to pour all this money into the rebuilding if they could get their own, you know, oil money, right?
Well, I mean, we haven't actually put that much money in. We say people, if you ask people, they say, oh, $87 billion. That's not true. That's the total bill for Iraq and Afghanistan.
Uh-huh.
And even of the Iraq money, most of that's for security,
right.
Very necessary indeed. But, you know, it's things like, you know, armor plating for Humvees and bulletproof vests and all that other good stuff. Mm-hmm. Even in theory, the only money that's going to benefit Iraqis is $18 billion of that. And of that, it turns out, they've only actually, signed contracts or whatever, got plans for spending $3 billion.
So we're
doing quite well out of Iraq at the moment.
So they're funneling a lot of that money just into American companies. It's sort of like a money laundering scheme almost.
Well, the construction, yeah. I mean, that's no secret. All the reconstruction money has gone straight into the capacious trouser pockets of Halliburton and all the rest. But,
yeah.
It's not this. The reality is slightly different from what you think.
How much oil does Iraq really have? I mean, what are we talking here?
Well, no one knows, really. I mean, it may have more than Saudi Arabia. It may have, you know, more than anyone. The point is no one's really explored Iraq properly. ever, except for a brief period in the 1970s, because before then the international oil companies who controlled the oil had no interest really in developing, or not much interest in developing Iraqi oil, because the Iraqis were kind of awkward and sort of nationalistic and wanted to have for themselves and so forth. And after the 1970s, there was the Iran-Iraq war in the 80s and sanctions in the 1990s, so not much could be done. So all we know is there's a lot, and it's easy to pump, and it's very cheap to produce. So it's very valuable, particularly to Iraqis, but it doesn't look like they'll be getting their hands on it soon.
Andrew Coburn, if America is siphoning off all this money, how come our gas prices are going through the roof here?
Very good question. Well, they're not pumping. They're pumping as much as they can. I mean, let me explain that when we say siphoning off, it's going into a thing called the Development Fund for Iraq, which the U.S. set up last year, which is all the money they sort of took over in Iraq that had belonged to Iraq. And it's on a, it's in it, that's a something totally controlled by the U.S. I'm sure they'd love to be pumping more to bring the price of gas down in time for the election, but first of all, Iraq's oil, whole oil infrastructure is totally run down, and secondly, in case you haven't noticed, there's a war going on, so they can't. There's two major oil fields or areas of oil in Iraq, in the north and the south, and they can't export much from the north because the pipeline keeps getting blown up, and now they can't export that much from the south because the pipelines are starting to get blown up. So it's not that satisfactory from their point of view.
Andrew Coburn, co-author of Out of the Ashes, The Resurrection of Saddam Hussein, a biography of the former Iraqi leader. What is likely to happen to the oil? Who will be administering, who will be overseeing what happens to it after the handover on June 30th?
Well, you know, President Bush, if you stick him with a pen, he'll ask him about this question. He'll say, it's for the benefit of the Iraqi people, and it'll be owned by Iraqis. Well, no. As I mentioned, there was this at the time of the invasion, or after the invasion, when they got they rammed a resolution through the UN Security Council for legitimizing, among other things, the seizure of Iraq's assets. At that point, they set up a thing called the Development Fund for Iraq, which is was basically the oil money from oil sales plus all the money they'd frozen that had belonged to the Saddam government around the world, plus money they found in Iraq. I mean, you know, gold and cash and the $900 million they found at the airport and so forth. That all went in this development fund, on which Iraqis, well, there's one Iraqi mentioned, featured on the board as the finance minister, but he's heavily outvoted by the 10 Americans on the board. We had thought, and I would have thought, that when they say we're handing over complete sovereignty to the Iraqis on June 30th, that would include at least their money. I mean, we know they're not going to control the American troops, the huge occupation army in the country. Of course not. We also know they're not going to control even their own army, because it's not that kind of sovereignty. We know they're not going to control their police.
But you sound that you don't think they're going to control their oil either.
But they're not even going to get their own money. You know, so what kind of sovereignty is it?
Exactly. Thank you very much, Andrew Coburn, for joining us. That's Andrew Coburn, co-author of Out of the Ashes, The Resurrection of Saddam Hussein. Coming up next, we got the PDB. And we want to hear from gays and lesbians out there. Tell us how your take on the history-making marriages today in Massachusetts. We want to hear about that. 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270 here on Air America Radio.
Attention, students, graduates, and parents. You could cut your student loan payments in half with the federal low interest rate programs available from College Loan Corporation. Thousands have already done it, and now you too can cut your federal student loan payments up to 50% or more. Call 1-800-CLC-1979 anytime, 24/7. College Loan Corporation will help you refinance your college loans and lock in federal interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest rate in nearly 40 years. If you are not taking advantage of this program, you could be paying twice as much as everyone else. It's easy to apply. There is no credit check, no hoops to jump through, and in just minutes, you'll be on your way to locking in the lowest rates in decades. Let us make this a reality for you today. Call 1-800-CLC-1979. It's the smartest call you can make. Call College Loan Corporation today at 1-800-CLC-1979. That's 1-800-CLC-1979.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
way. Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Good morning. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley and an oddly absent Sue Ellicott. She must have stepped out for a minute. It's Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio.
Hey.
It is now 43 past the hour. We're taking your calls at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. We're talking about, we'd like to talk about your feelings about the big day in Massachusetts. Gay marriages are happening and okay.
260 couples at midnight in Cambridge.
Lined up.
Congratulations to all of them.
That's a little cake.
Yeah.
Wally in New Jersey, sir.
I really enjoy your program, first of all.
Thank you.
I'm a 26-year-old gay man, and I wanted to say that I think it's obviously great what's going on, and I think in terms of people who don't agree with it, you should just wait till those people die off because it's a non-issue among people my age.
You know, this is an important point because there was some polling done that says that Americans are sharply divided on gay marriage by age. Very few older Americans, myself excepted, agree with the concept of gay marriage. It is the 18 to 29-year-olds that are most for it.
Yeah, you would think so.
Here's my question. When is a major Democratic candidate going to have enough chutzpah to get up and say, this is right?
Well, we're still waiting.
Someone asked that earlier, too. Maybe if we talk about it here a little more,
Wait a minute. You know what? Run for something, Maron.
Yeah, and stand
run
up for
something. Yeah, because not Maron will stand up for it. It's just that he's not running for anything. Now.
I'll work on that. I'll try and run for something.
He'll just try to run, in fact.
I do that. I do a lot of running away from things. Daniel in New York. Daniel?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
I'm good.
So, you guys, I love your show, by the way.
Thanks.
It's terrific, and I'm so glad that Air America is on the radio.
Okay.
I'm a gay man. I'm in my 40s, and I live in New York City. And, I couldn't be happier that this is happening to America, kind of turn it around. But I just think the timing is really bad. I mean, why couldn't it have happened after the election? Although I read in the paper that a lot of Christians, you know, the Christian right are thinking this isn't such a good idea to deal about because there are so many important other important issues.
Daniel, why would you wish it happened after the election and not now?
I just feel that it might influence more people, more right-wing people, to go to the polls and vote against more liberals.
You don't think it could flush out more voters to vote for a Democrat if the right-wingers are very outspoken? People go, look, come on, they're so outdated, they're so intolerant. Let's, you know, that galvanizes Democrats to go out and vote.
I hope you're right.
Me too. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks for calling, Daniel. Call us at 866-303-2270, 866-303-AAR0. We're talking about Gay Marriage Day in Massachusetts. I think maybe is it going to be officially called that? Gay Marriage Day on the calendar?
No, it's just the day gays are allowed to marry.
Victor in Holland. Victor, how's things in Holland?
Not bad. Not bad.
Oh, good. Well, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, basically, if you look at the Bible, considering what this neoconservatives are talking about, Christ said, if you have no sin, you should cast the first stone. When it comes to religion, people should understand, only God judges you. Don't go around throwing up smoke screen, telling humanity, oh, you can't marry if you're gay, you can't do this, you can't. Those are the same people who do not understand anything about the Bible. I mean, look at George Bush. He gave all those tax breaks to the rich people. Christ wouldn't do that.
Yeah,
Christ will be hanging out with gay people, with the poorest people, if he was around now. That's what he'll be doing.
Absolutely. Thank you, Victor. He's right. He's right. It's a double standard
with
some of these Christians. Richie in Japan, how are you?
Yeah, hey, doing great. How's it going there?
Pretty good, man.
I'm so psyched to be able to listen to this this show from all the way over here on the Internet.
And we're psyched to be there with you in Japan.
Yeah. My thoughts about this, I'm really excited that this is going on in Massachusetts. I think it's a great step forward. But there's something really ironic to me about Governor Romney's decision to resurrect this 1913 law to ban marriages that wouldn't be recognized in their home states, because it was originally, from what I understand, it was originally created to prevent biracial couples from marrying in Massachusetts, or if it was, I guess the circumstance would be if people, biracial marriages were possible in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be possible for people outside of Massachusetts, so I guess it would be to protect the state. But
I'm confused.
You confused me, Richie, but I think basically you think it's good and we think it's good. So I think we agree with you, but I've my head's spinning.
Yeah, my head hurts. By the way, the Newsweek has a poll that says that a majority, 51% of adults, now approve of some form of legal recognition for gay and lesbian couples, but that's not full marriage rights. Only 28% favor full marriage rights. 23% favor civil unions.
What was he trying to say, Richie? He was trying to say something about legislation.
He was trying to say, I think that the legislation that Mitt Romney, I guess, was trying to get done was originally intended to have an impact on interracial couples in the state of Massachusetts.
Also, I think he was going to say that there was good timing because today is the anniversary of Brown versus the Board of Education.
Which we're going to talk about next hour. Yeah.
And so it was yet another triumph for the social momentum of America.
Well, thanks for all your calls.
The greatest country in the world.
Talking. What are you changing your tune for? Stick by your guns.
No, that falls into the category of the greatest country. I'm just doing left column good, right column bad. That's a good left column good issue.
Got it. It's now time for the Presidential Daily Briefing, the highly classified top secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is titled, Why Iraqi Leaders Shouldn't Blow Up. Mr. President, it has come to our attention that the head of the Iraqi Governing Council was blown up in a suicide bombing in Baghdad. It is the opinion of this office that Iraqi leaders need to stop blowing up. If Iraqi leaders insist on blowing up, this could delay the handover of power to Iraq on June 30th, but more importantly, pose an imminent threat to your public relations effort in the Middle East and even the Middle West. When it comes to advocating Western-style democracy, Iraqi leaders are far more effective in a state of non-blow-upness. As America's plans for long-term success in Iraq do not involve people randomly blowing up, we suggest taking all possible steps to convince Iraqi leaders to remain unblown up. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security.
All right.
They've got their finger on the pulse, as usual.
Always. So we'll be we're going to come back with Recovery Corner. Other things?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if we're going to take any more calls, but we'll be back here on Air America Radio.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees? GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's really important, your business. GEM HR combines state-of-the-art technology with experienced professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GEM HR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at GEMHR.com. At GEM HR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
Today at 5 on Channel 7 Eyewitness News, cell phone family plans. Eyewitness News finds a catch that could cost your family big.
It costs me more. I got a bill for $380.
Plus at 5, history in the making. Eyewitness News takes you to Boston live for the first gay marriages. Plus at 6, 50 years and schools were forced to integrate. But what's changed since then? See for yourself when Eyewitness News surveys our schools today. It all starts with Diana Williams, Sade Veteran One, and Sam Champion with the AccuWeather Forecast. Today at 5, only on EBC 7.
All new Oprah Goes Back in Time. 400 years.
What year might this be?
1628.
Forget the simple life.
All these years, women did not have panties?
This is the tough life.
Where does one go to the bathroom when one goes?
What did she get herself into?
I am not going to survive if a rat falls on my face.
Next Oprah. Today at 4, only on ABC 7, followed by Eyewitness News at 5.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
It just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive and I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
Good morning, it's Monday. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Wise, Sue Ellicott, Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Hey.
What's up, buddy?
Well, I just wanted to clarify real quickly the whole thing that the caller that was talking about, the Massachusetts law was talking about. That was a law that was done in 1913, and it says that only residents of Massachusetts were eligible to marry same-sex partners. That's Mitt Romney, the governor's interpretation of that law.
Okay.
That law was originally, as the caller very correctly points out, enacted to see to it that interracial couples from other states could not come into Massachusetts, marry, and then have that marriage seen as valid.
Okay.
That's what he's fighting.
But could they come in and stay?
They'd have to be residents of Massachusetts in order for that marriage to be legally recognized. So there'd probably have to be a waiting period.
Okay.
I want to put this out there. I'm about to do Recovery Corner, which, again, some people like, some people not so much. I got a letter from someone in recovery today saying that I'm making fun of alcoholics, which I'm not. I am in recovery. I find this to be a helpful thing I'm doing. I am actually reaching out. If you just, you know, listen to the tone and the message within the piece, maybe you'd see that as well. As some people from recovery do see that, and they think it's fine. It's very interesting how, like, you know, that there's such divided opinions on everything, but really divided. I'm Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark!
Hi. I reach out today and every day to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. As always, I'm offering my advice to my sponsee, George W. Listen, George, addiction is a family disease. I don't just mean Lauren, Jenna, and Barbara, though life can't be a picnic for them. I mean Donald Rumsfeld and Lindy England and all those other people in Iraq who, you know, because of your policies. You know, they're your family, too. Like it or not, you are the father of your country. Okay, that's George Washington. Easy mistake. Is my point is, alcoholics don't have relationships. They take hostages. The secrets, the stonewalling, the dirty prison pictures hidden in the shoebox, that all trickles down on them from a fountain called you, George W. You can't be a pure... You can be a pure mountain spring of truth or a stagnant puddle of lies. Remember, your family comes to drink from you, and nobody likes gray water. Man, this is really quite a metaphor that I'm building here. I'm just saying that if you don't clean up your own side of the street, man, everything gets polluted. Remember, anger is just one letter away from danger. It works if you work it, so work it. You're worth it. Keep the plug in the jug. God doesn't wake up and think he's you. Do the next right thing. First things first, don't drink. And that goes out to all my friends in recovery. And wait, okay. We got one more caller. Hey, Brian, Maybrook, New York. Brian.
Good morning.
What's up, man?
How you doing?
Not a whole lot. Hey, I'm a 37-year-old straight man, Catholic, and I think that this is a day that's been long in coming, and I can only hope that we get farther down the road with eliminating this whole issue as a critical one in terms of anybody's opinion about right or wrong.
So you want government to have no say in the institution of marriage?
I personally think that we need to get to the point where civil union is what everybody does when they want to be legally recognized as a joint
right.
household. And that religious institutions hold sway over the institution of marriage as each one defines it, and that we simply don't confuse the two any longer.
Like, so everyone can have a civil union. If you want to have a party, you have a party, depending on what you believe in.
Exactly, and that the churches can stop using their moral stances to define legal issues. Because right now, what we do have with marriage, I think, is a blurred line between church and state.
I absolutely agree with you. Thank you for calling. Do we have time for one more caller? No, we don't. I think he's right. I think civil unions, and isn't that the way they do it in most European places that allow in England? Is it civil unions or?
I think it's just going to be more options there. There's also common law marriage, which is much more common than it is in America.
They have some of that
standards.
Yeah, codified in Europe though a lot more than it is.
Oh yeah.
I think the different states have different laws about what constitutes common law marriage.
How long do you have to be together for common law?
I think it's maybe only 4 years or something.
That's all.
It might be two. It might be four. My brother did it, and then they finally went off and got married on a beach in Santa Barbara.
Oh, there you go.
And we rang the bells of the universe. It was
only
lovely.
4 years. That's,
there you
that's
go.
A long time.
In our final hour of Morning's Edition, gays can get married. In one state, at least. The 50th anniversary of Brown versus Board of Education. Plus, gas prices up, Bush approval down. Stay tuned to Air America Radio.
It's Travelocity's 5th annual cruise super sale, the biggest cruise sale ever.
Indeed. I've already eaten my weight in lobster scampi.
Save on every cruise line and every destination. Get up to $300 cash back and up to $100 more when you book with your MasterCard.
How clever.
Hurry. The sale ends February 26, 2004. Call 1-800-222-3690. Visit Travelocity.com/supersale or AOL keyword cruise. Restrictions apply. See site for offer details.
Book with Travelocity. Don't forget your hat.
Home. It's the place you like to make warm and inviting. What could be more welcoming than the aroma of fresh coffee brewing? When a coffee is Starbucks, the experience only gets richer. You'll find Starbucks coffee at your grocery store, so you can enjoy it at home. Its distinctive roasting style and rich, authentic taste show how seriously we pursue the art of coffee. Savor its aroma, then pour a cup and invite your senses to take flight. Starbucks coffee at your grocery store.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. The head of the Iraqi Governing Council is accentuating the positive, vowing to continue efforts to build a democratic Iraq. This despite the car bombing that claimed the life early this morning of his predecessor. Former head Izzedine Salim was snuffed out in a blast that also claimed the lives of eight others. Brigadier General Mark Kimmett in Iraq echoed the sentiment of the new IGC head, Abdel Zahra Othman, in staying the course in Iraq. Pentagon is flatly denying that New York and magazine story that Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld greenlighted a special program aimed at abusing and humiliating Iraqi prisoners of war. Journalist Seymour Hersh delivered the bombshell development, saying the Pentagon has several questions to answer.
Was there a covert operation that had been set up after Afghanistan of men operating in secret with aliases, of going around the world and going after terrorism? And was this group diverted in the fall of 2003 to Baghdad into the prisons with the idea that they were going to get better intelligence on the insurgency by using not only coercion but also sexual intimidation?
Journalist Seymour Hersh. Arizona Republican Senator John McCain says there's no way he'll be running a running mate of Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry. McCain made that clear over the weekend, vowing to campaign for the re-election of President Bush. But the Arizona Republican has been extremely critical of the president in recent weeks. His criticism centered on Bush's handling of the war and the issue of Iraqi prisoner abuse. Kerry heightened speculation last week when he said McCain would top his list for defense secretary. Democrat Kerry says the nation is in need of a new jobs program. He told a gathering in Las Vegas,
"I'm going to work for your jobs. I'm going to work for your families. I'm going to work for your health care. I'm going to work to protect your rights. And we will, again, put it simply, put it plain, I'm going to put jobs first again in the United States of America."
Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry in Las Vegas. Supreme Court Chief Justice William Rehnquist spoke at the dedication of Ohio's new court building in Columbus on Sunday, but it was how he got there that caused the stir. A utility company flew Rehnquist out from Washington at the request of the Ohio Supreme Court. The propriety of the flight has been questioned by watchdog group Ohio Citizen Action because the company, American Electric Power, is being sued by the Environmental Protection Agency and the Justice Department for allegedly violating the Clear Air Act. The case could reach the U.S. Supreme Court. California Republican Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has his eyes at terminating something else. The governor wants to end the high payouts people get from punitive damages in state lawsuits. It's his latest initiative to keep the state coffers in check. He's proposing that 75% any punitive damage award go back to the state. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
The Cold Sore Case Files. Sponsored by Xylactin. Meet Tasha.
Hello.
Tasha's getting married.
Yeah.
Tasha's also feeling a tingle on her lip. An itchy tingle that could erupt into a cold sore.
Oh, my.
Thankfully, Tasha knows about Xylactin L.
Where's the Xylactin L?
Xylactin L's penetrating formula speeds relief by treating cold sores even before they break out.
Take that.
So Tasha can get married with confidence. Congratulations, Tasha.
Hey, we're taking a picture here.
Excuse me. Got a cold sore? Zap it. With Xylactin.
In 1988, a weed appeared in the garden when George Herbert Walker Bush was sworn in as the 41st President of the United States. Over the next 4 years, that weed grew into a big bush. After a war with Iraq, a deficit buildup, and job losses at home, the people stormed the garden and chopped that bush down. But the conservative roots spread deep and wide and grew back. That little sprout grew into an even bigger bush. The son, George W. Bush, the 43rd President of the United States. Now, 4 years later, after another war with Iraq, another deficit buildup, and staggering job losses at home, it's time to weed the garden again. But this bush can't be trimmed. This bush needs to be ripped out by the roots. Help us weed the garden and go to our website at www.waxbush2004.com. It's time to wax bush once and for all.
So you're lying there watching your soon-to-be first baby on the ultrasound monitor, and you're thinking you really have to start saving for a bigger house and college. And college? How are you going to pay for that? And then you relax because you're not in this alone. See, your State Farm agent will be helping with things like life insurance and college savings plans. And then the nurse says, "Okay, finished." And you say, "No, no, no. We want to keep watching."
Start planning with the State Farm agent you know from the company you trust. State Farm, providing insurance and financial services.
Weeds like dandelion, clover, and hundreds of others can stand between you and a thick green lawn. That's why Bayer Advanced created Triple Action Lawn Fertilizer Plus Weed Control. It does two jobs at once. It kills four times as many types of weeds as the leading brand, while it feeds at every level. The grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep-down green that lasts longer. Without the weeds, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
Listen to Air America Radio whenever and wherever you want. We're available 24/7 on the internet. Just hit our website, www.airamericaradio.com. All you need to do is complete a quick online registration. Once that's done, you're ready to take us live. Air America uses the Real One player for our streaming. www.airamericaradio.com. Streaming now, live, 24/7. www.airamericaradio.com.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today, Monday, we're expecting a fax from the Streisand compound. And we're expecting my buddy Greg Giraldo, the comedian, to walk through that door any minute now. You might know him from Tough Crowd, Comedy Central, this and that. Very funny guy. That's coming up. Right now I'm joined by my fellows, comrades.
Partners in crime.
Partners in crime, Sue Ellicott.
Right. Hello.
Mark Riley. Yep. Brain's not working as good as it should this morning for me. Weekend was okay. You know what I did do outside of what I talked about earlier, which I don't need to talk about again, the autoerotic hobbying and the eating compulsively, was I went to a yoga class because I do go to the gym. I do try to hold on to the dream that I won't decay. Do you ever think about it that way? After a certain point, you know, you go through your 20s and your 30s, and then, you know, you just hit this wall. You realize, oh, no, from here on out, it's just decay management.
It's the next step toward impending doom.
Right, you know, and you start to sort of realize that in your head, in the back of your head, you know, you just start to say, okay, I might be halfway done. But I went to a yoga class. Have you ever been to, like, I don't want to be like a yoga wuss, you know, I don't want you to be out there judging me, like, you know, what kind of man goes to
yoga class?
Come
on, yoga boy.
I do. I go to I like the hard ones, you know, where you go and it's really, you know, you go through the flows and it's like an aerobic workout. But I went to one at my gym in Queens that just said yoga, and I go. And it was just like, it was one of those really lame, it wasn't even a basic class. It was just sort of like, okay, now wave your hands around a little bit like they're brooms, you know. And I'm like, what, you know, and I'm sitting there like, and the one thing you don't want in yoga is just be sitting there just seething at the person who's teaching it. Like everything that she, every time she would open her mouth, I'd be like, oh, shut up.
That is definitely bad karma.
Yeah, I mean, that's not meditation. I mean, if I want to do that meditation, that's the other 23 hours of my day is just waking up seething.
Are you sure it wasn't an anger management class you stumbled into by mistake?
No, it was a yoga class, but it just had no edge to it. No, you know, it was like a, what would you call it? I don't want to be judgmental. It was like a pansy wussy yoga class for amateurs.
Did you leave or did you sit it out?
I did sit it out.
Did you? You should have got up and got out.
Well, that's the other worst part of my personality, is that there was some part of me, the only reason I didn't leave was I was like, you know, she probably just got her stupid yoga license. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to get up and make her cry in the middle of this on top of everything else. Just kind of walk out angrily and go, you suck, and walk out and just watch all these, like, you know, Queens women look at me like, wow, what was he so mad about? But To my credit, like a couple people left before the final meditation, you know, where you just lay there like an idiot.
But that's funny. That happens a lot in New York, because you know, yoga teachers will say that you know, Shavasana, when you lie on your back, the last few minutes are the most important minutes of the yoga class. It's when all the information that's gone into your body soaks in, and you just absorb it all, and then you go out and face your day.
Right.
In New York, people are like, busy, 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 got to get out, got to miss those last 3 minutes. I go to yoga sometimes, a couple of times a week.
Yeah.
There are more people who get up and walk out early than any other city in which I've done yoga.
You want to know the only reason
just
I like it?
Just to save 3 minutes.
Yeah, for me, it's not even meditative, though. That's the whole element of that, is that last part supposed to be the meditative part. And I never went to yoga to meditate. Like, when I go to those really fast yoga classes, because if you really do it, if you do that workout and you do it quickly, your body will lock down into like a tone, into a like the core thing, the whole abdominal core thing. Listen to me, and now I'm getting like,
go ahead,
if you do the power yoga stuff, your whole body becomes this like little, like just a fist.
It's true,
fitness.
But I think that you need that. It's absolutely true for you know, muscle tone. It's fantastic, but you need to face your demons in that meditation bit at the end.
Oh,
that's when, otherwise you get all knotted up. You go out far too revved up. It's completely counterproductive. You may just go and just jog around the
park. Knotted up. Knotted up for him is a good thing.
Okay, I'm going to take him to a meditation yoga one day.
I got a question.
I'm going to meditate with Mark. It'll be really interesting.
If I face my demons at the end of the yoga class, it'd need to be a lot longer.
Answer me this one thing.
Yeah.
They just had a sign outside that said yoga.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of like a restaurant that just says food?
What kind of yoga is it? I know.
Cheap.
But it was close by. It was at the new gym. I did the one I just joined right there and right next door in Queens.
And they got a sauna?
No, they never do yoga at gyms.
I don't know if it has a whirlpool. I haven't gone that far into it yet.
You said stuff. You have to go to yoga class.
You know, most guys in yoga class just go to check out the babes. It's kind of like a babe magnet.
I thought that was just most guys being awake.
It's a particular draw, girls in leotards.
Oh, yes, that it is.
There's no doubt about that.
Sweaty leotards.
Yeah, that's okay, too.
But I love my wife.
You do.
Just get that in fast, and then let's move on to a serious topic.
We all
topic.
Love our wives,
that's
but we are
right.
alive. And, you know, and speaking of marriage and wives,
uh-oh,
there's going to be some wife-on-wife action, some groom-on-groom action.
I knew you'd twist it.
No, I'm not twisted. I'm just like, you know, it's not. It's like man and man. Do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded man? You know what I mean?
But let's have a round of applause for gay marriage in the state of Massachusetts. Yes. And I don't care whether it's a campaign issue. I don't care if the rest of the country hates it.
Does the pastor say, okay, now who's the top?
You know what? It could be a great thing for the economy of Massachusetts.
Yeah.
If nobody else does implement it, then surely it would be a big draw. People would just move to Massachusetts.
But see, that's what Romney is trying to stop. Romney is saying only people who are residents of the state of Massachusetts can take advantage of Massachusetts' law.
Yeah, that's okay, but presumably you can move there if that's your intention, and then just there must be a qualifying period. I mean, anybody, my brother came from England and married in California. Not that he's gay, but all you had to do was show that you'd been there a certain number of days and pick up the certificate. There must be, even if it's three months or 3 weeks.
And the green card.
No, you can get married here with no green card. You can just get married on a beach. No residential status at all.
Well, I meant that I was suggesting that maybe he wanted to marry before the green card.
Oh, no. He married a British woman.
Oh, okay.
He's probably listening. He's touring America in his RV right now.
Oh, he's got the RV.
He's touring
the internet up.
If you're streaming us, hi.
He's going to go try to have an authentic tourist experience somewhere in this great land of ours.
If he's not deported by Homeland Security for a visa infraction.
Some things are amazing, man. Did you go on the Grand Canyon and stuff?
I think he's going to.
Grand Canyon's like never disappointing. It's like one of those things where you're like, the Grand Canyon, but when you go, you're like, holy crap.
I hate
amazing.
Heights. I've never been near it.
Oh, my God. It's like mind-blowing.
I'll go Grand down Canyon. Through the bottom.
Niagara Falls? Mind-blowing.
I
it's
love mind-blowing. Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls is different.
Yeah, I hiked down into the Grand Canyon. It was mind-blowing.
Oh, my God.
Now, I got a question for the two of you.
Yeah.
At 1 o'clock this afternoon, history will repeat itself.
Well, I'll be napping again.
It will be the 50th anniversary of the Brown versus Board of Education Supreme Court decision that really changed the nature of America.
Well, this is a big day.
Yes, it absolutely is.
In the greatest nation in the world.
And Justice Earl Warren read that decision, to the surprise of many in the press, by the way, at 1 o'clock that afternoon. The roots of Brown, by the way, which was enacted in 1954 on this date, go back to Plessy versus Ferguson, a decision that legalized segregation, said that separation of the races was constitutional as long as it was separate but equal. And a lot of people, including the NAACP and most specifically Thurgood Marshall, who later became a Supreme Court justice, worked very, very hard and ran cases throughout the 30s, 40s, and into the 1950s challenging the notion of separate but equal being constitutional. And Brown versus Board established that for education, and then little by little, the other segregation restrictions that were part of American law were knocked down.
I know you rag on me, especially Mark Maron, if I say anything even remotely critical about America, but this is a fantastic thing and something that really represents to people in other countries the greatness of this country. My five-year-old this last weekend was telling me the story about desegregation. Mm-hmm. And I said, how do you know about that? Was it your brother when he was at school in America? And he said, no, we learned about it at school in England. His class of 5 and 6-year-olds basically have a child's version of exactly that law and that part of U.S. history. And he was telling me about, you know, equality and skin color and everybody's the same and people are stupid if they don't believe that and that this is what America did. I think that's incredible that they're teaching that in British schools.
Yeah, it is, because they don't teach it in that many American schools. The amazing thing about Plessy versus Ferguson and about about segregation in America was its cost to the southern states of this country. It was you got to realize that for a very long time, if you had, for example, 50 people that were going to get on a train and half of them were black, I'm sorry, if let's say 40 of them were white and 10 of them were black, you could fit them all in one car.
Sounds like a story problem.
Yeah, but yeah, and the problem is you'd have to get a second car.
Yeah.
So you had to have two of everything. just to make everything separate, but more. And, of course, things weren't equal. But imagine how much it cost government to put two of everything.
To maintain segregation.
To maintain segregation, which is why the South maintained its relative poverty compared to the rest of America for so long.
But are you also saying that desegregation was motivated by financial incentive by the northern states?
Well, the original challenge by Homer Plessy, who was a businessman, that was the challenge in Plessy versus Ferguson was, in fact, economic.
Mm-hmm.
It was not really directly related to civil rights. Homer Plessy had to send his goods on separate barges down the Mississippi River. That was why he challenged the law, and he lost.
I have learned a lot this morning.
Me too. I have to, you know, it's weird, like, Sue, when I challenge you about America, I have my own problems with America, clearly. It's just when it comes out of your mouth in the British accent.
It's true, but you know the thing, it's very hard for me because I've lived here for 15 years. You know, I have children of dual citizenship. I'm married to an American. You know, my life, and certainly my taxes, are way, way, way more American than the British side of my life. And I probably know more about America and have lived in a number of states. And it's still, it is hard for people to hear that. I mean, I consider I probably have more perspective on America than I do perhaps on Britain. If you ask me a question about, you know, parliamentary procedure, I can't answer. I probably know what Congress is supposed to do, but you're right.
I'll do it.
I'll just start speaking in a different accent every time I talk about the greatest nation in the world, okay?
There you go.
Still ahead, the president's palm pilot plus comedian Greg Giraldo will help us out with the liberal agenda right here on Air America Radio.
Planet Church. Who owns all of those trees in the national forest? We do.
Healthy forest? Think again. Americans are being restricted from commenting on the use of our public lands. Scott Paul, Forest Campaign Coordinator for Greenpeace, explains.
These policies have been put in place to allow forest companies to forego the Endangered Species Act, to forego the Clean Water Act. Some of the most bedrock environmental laws in this country are being dismantled and people are unaware.
60 million Americans get their clean drinking water off of national forest lands.
There's decades of work to be done in our national forests just in restoration alone. Hundreds of thousands of logging roads to nowhere, scarring our national forest system, and these roads have a very adverse environmental effect across the landscape.
Branch out and learn more at www.greenpeace.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
This year, you're going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. The smoking solution components have already helped thousands of ex-smokers kick the habit permanently. We guarantee you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 7 days or your money back. Unlike gums or patches, the smoking solution is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. We also include the slimming solution to fight weight gain, powerful antioxidants to help heal your lungs and body, and much, much more. Best of all, the smoking solution system works fast. In as little as 1 week, we can help you kick the habit once and for all. Come on, aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, the smoking solution system is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free better sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Good morning, Mark Maron, here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I am talking to myself.
Good morning, Mark Maron. Hello.
Good morning, Mark Maron. Hello, Mark Maron. How are you? No, I'm not that self-centered. That was Sue Ellicott. I'm here with Mark Riley.
Yep.
And now it's time to have my guy hack in with his Bluetooth Palm Pilot into the presidential Palm Pilot. So here's today's presidential schedule. The president is doing 8 a.m. Wake up. Note, after receiving honorary doctorate on Friday, everyone must call me Dr. Bush. No exceptions. 10 o'clock a.m., Dr. Bush amputates limb from G.I. Joe. Operation successful. 11:30 a.m., Dr. Bush condemns same-sex marriages taking place in Massachusetts. As a doctor, says conception among gays is medically impossible. 1 p.m., Dr. Bush speaks in Topeka, Kansas, on anniversary of Brown versus the Board of Education. Have Colin Powell eat at separate lunch counter. 2 p.m., Dr. Bush signs off on an attack ad that says, "Is John Kerry a doctor? I don't think so." This message has been approved by 4:30 p.m. Dr. Bush. 4:30 p.m. Dr. Bush plays video golf. 6 p.m. dinner. Dr. Bush performs open heart surgery on pot roast. 8 p.m. Dr. Bush examines Laura. 9 p.m. lights out. Dr. Bush consults with pillow. Diagnosis: sleepy time.
I wonder, healthcare's in a mess.
Yeah.
Well, Kerry's got some big ideas to change that. Says tax cuts for those earning more than $200,000 a year and use the savings to pay for his $650 billion 10-year proposal to provide 27 million more Americans with health care.
He's swinging through Nevada, Kansas, and Oregon. Now, why he swung through Vegas, I'm not quite sure.
He wanted to put a little bit, $50 on red.
Yeah, right? Or maybe he's really become a Smarty Jones fan now that the horse has won 2 out of 3 in the Triple Crown.
That is an amazing animal.
Yeah, it sure was. It was unbelievable to watch him.
Not as amazing as my cat.
Look, he had much better looking legs than your cat ever did.
My cat was amazing.
But now, Kerry spoke to the annual convention, the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. Maybe that's why he was in Vegas. Is there something missing about Teamsters meeting in Vegas?
Kicking back with the Teamsters?
Well, I guess...
Be careful what you say, all right? Let's try and keep cool here with the
Teamsters. Let's be real about this. The Teamsters decided to meet in the city they built.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
And financed and ran,
yeah,
along with several people of questionable rep. But he is really kind of moving away from Iraq, and he's going to this, you know, two-part message in terms of both the economy and health care. And he says, this is John Kerry now, that the Bush administration has ignored the middle class.
What are you going to do about the problems that real workers are facing, the middle class of America, on a daily basis? And for 4 years, they've looked at you almost with scorn, certainly with indifference, and they've basically said, you're on your own.
Yes, that's what they
have. I feel like I'm on my own, John. What are we going to do about it?
Well, he says take $650 million that he'll get from taxing people, rescinding the Bush tax cuts for people making over $200,000.
Yeah.
And put that specifically into health care and making sure that some of the 40-some-odd million people that don't have it now get. I think his plan is talking about 27
million. 27 million.
Yeah. That'll still leave about 14 without, but, hey, you know, he can work on that once he wins.
Maybe the 13 that have it can put those 14 million on their policies.
That would be nice.
I'm just trying to do some helping.
I mean, I've never been against paying higher taxes for the greater good, because in Europe that's generally what happens, as it does in Canada. But it is hard to imagine many Americans not bulking at that. There is just such a strong, keep our taxes down philosophy. If I don't know, is it too grand called mindset, I think.
But the greater good is unclear in this country. You know, it's like when you say greater good, I think that one of the reasons people might not want to pay taxes is, you know, what are they really getting?
Well, if I could be guaranteed that to pay higher taxes, you know, children in, you know, inner city areas where they, you know, don't get access to health care, where they have, you know, really bad schools, where, you know, infant mortality rates are, you know, in some places the same as they are in the third world, I will pay more taxes, absolutely, unquestionably.
Well, see, what happens in this country is that you're taxed at so many different levels. The feds tax you. The state taxes you. The municipality you live in all likelihood, taxes you. And most school funding in this country is done through property taxes, and people hate that because they almost always continue to spiral upward. So what ends up happening is people, even if they get raises at their jobs, they end up spending the raise on increased property taxes. So even the tax, the $400 that all Americans were supposed to get, I guess, back from Bush a couple of years ago, that got sucked right back out. So people don't feel like they're actually getting anything in their wallet.
And there's a fear, I think, on behalf of the middle class that if all the tax money is actually used to, to help what you're saying, you know, which is, you know, rebuild inner cities, help the, you know, some of the poorer people, you know, get health care and everything else, that they'll no longer be able to tell whether or not they're middle class. They'll just be two classes, and one thing America doesn't want to acknowledge is that there's some sort of class problem in this country.
Well, there is the idea that there are so many people that want a better life for themselves and their children.
Right.
And in many instances, you find, we were talking earlier about different ethnic groups and different nationalities in this country controlling certain industries. If you've ever been to New York, you realize that there are Pakistanis control the newsstand industry in the city.
And Dunkin' Donuts. I just started to realize that. I haven't done an investigation, but I've been to, I've been to 30 Dunkin' Donuts.
And Perry Gavin shows.
That I believe the Pakistanis are the Dunkin' Donuts people.
The Dunkin' Donuts. Well, what they've done is target a particular area that they're able to pool their money and get into. And they are, the end game, of course, is a better life. Those kids go on to college, in many cases into government-funded colleges. They do well, and they're able to move into the American mainstream.
But it's smart. It's like Korean beauty parlors and nail salons, is that people help one another out. They lend money. It's like in California, gardeners and babysitters. I knew so many people whose Mexican and Central American employees, they all give their money over to help other people come in. It's a big self-help network system. That's what happens in a country. There's not a lot of help that comes from the federal government.
And it does cost some money to get relatives on those trucks and hope they make it okay.
Oh, now see, those trucks. Now, Bush, your president, Mr. Marin,
yes,
has his own troubles. His approval ratings have dropped to 42% according to the latest Newsweek poll. That is a low for his presidency. 57% say they disapprove of his handling of the war in Iraq.
But that's lower now than it was for Carter before he was not reelected, right?
Yep.
Why'd you put him on me, man? Why'd you say my president?
Because.
Why'd you say that? That's like,
because he's your president.
What are you saying?
He's my president.
What are you saying about me, man?
Let me tell you something. Yeah. I couldn't watch this chump for a year.
Yeah.
After he stole that election.
He came and look at him, right?
I could. Every time he came on television, I turned to wrestling or Jerry Springer or something else that made me feel more real.
Yeah, I had to move to England.
See? Yeah, 42%.
He's going down.
He's going down.
I just hope he stays down.
Well, Kerry is not the direct beneficiary of this. He's only leading by a point in the same Newsweek poll when head-to-head.
Who is?
With 9% undecided. But, hey. If Bush's approval rating stays this low, Kerry will sooner or later benefit from it. I'm convinced of that.
So he's like, he's not the direct, but
beneficiary.
Beneficiary.
like in a will?
Well, like, are people just giving up? They're like, I'm not voting for anybody. Screw it.
Well, 9% are undecided, which is relatively high. Still to come, comedians at 50 paces. Greg Giraldo joins us live in studio, The Liberal Agenda and The Morning Devotional, when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl who we haven't even met yet and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
way. Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. More violence in Iraq in the last several hours. A car bomb went off at a checkpoint in central Baghdad. Head of the Iraqi Governing Council, Izzadeen Salim, was killed along with eight other Iraqis. Two U.S. soldiers were injured. Salim was the second and highest-ranking member of the U.S.-appointed council assassinated so far. Pentagon is saying no to a New Yorker magazine report that says Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld approved of a program designed to abuse Iraqi prisoners using physical coercion and sexual humiliation. A breakthrough for the gay community. Massachusetts is the first state in the nation to allow same-sex couples to wed as of today. Well over 260 gathered over the weekend to make the historic walk into marital bliss. And 50 years ago today, the U.S. Supreme Court issued its landmark decision of Brown versus the Board of Education, paving the way for integrated schools across the country. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Isn't this a swell day?
Sure was a long, cold winter. But at long last, here it is, almost Memorial Day. Time to limber up your horseshoe pitching arm, hang that tire swing in the maple tree again, stop at the store for some country time lemonade, and wave adios to the ice and snow. Yeah, ice isn't a bad thing, really. It just belongs in a pitcher on a balmy afternoon, surrounded by lots and lots of country time.
Hey, have you heard? Cialis is here. Are you ready? Get to know Cialis. Don't miss another moment to talk to your doctor about prescription Cialis Tadalafil. Find out today if a free sample of Cialis is right for you. You can learn more about Cialis by visiting www.cialis.com or by calling 1-877-4-CIALIS. Cialis, it's here. Are you ready?
Look at this one, Dad. Like new, best offer.
No, honey, that's a private owner. I'd feel better if we went to a Ford dealer for a quality check certified pre-owned Ford.
Certified?
Yep. 115 points of inspection and 6-year, 75,000-mile powertrain limited warranty coverage.
Oh, we can't get that from a private owner.
Or roadside assistance and 3.9% financing.
You're right, Dad. If it's not certified, it's just used.
Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 2004. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
So what else is news?
She said, I think that after September 11, the American people are valuing life more, and we need policies to value the dignity and worth of every life.
Air America's Marty Kaplan.
The fundamental issue between us and the terror network is that we value every life. So that's it. September 11th is an opportunity to stand up against choice.
Marty Kaplan, evening 7 to 8 on Air America Radio.
Good morning. I'm Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm here with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott, as I am here with them every day. But today is different than other days because we have a comedian in the room. You may know him from Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn. You may know him from the Conan O'Brien show. You might know him from the roasts on Comedy Central. You might know him if you hang around the Comedy Cellar. Greg Giraldo is in the house.
Hey, guys.
How are you, man?
How are you? Very good. Thanks for having me. You know, I was listening in the green room literally for about 20 minutes. And I think you've covered everything. There's nothing else. How do you do this day after? You pretty much did everything there was to talk
about. There's a lot of reading.
Perfectly.
A lot of reading.
We could just breathe together for the next few minutes.
Yeah.
You got a great watch, though. I love that watch.
Oh, thank you very much. I got it because of the Bush economy.
It's about 2 inches thick.
To buy these things.
You also just bought a big old TV, man. The high definition TV.
I'm buying a lot of stuff. Like I said, I used to be a lot more liberal, and now I've been getting a lot of these high-paying corporate gigs, so I'm getting more conservative.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, it is what happened. Starting to see their side of it, actually.
You start to realize, like, hey, I got some money. I can live in a place with a little security.
Yeah, exactly. I could actually buy nice things and maybe not hate things as much as I did before.
So you're evolving out of any sort of liberal disposition whatsoever?
Well, a little bit, especially in a time of war. I heard you guys trashing the president. And, I can't tolerate that sort of thing, you know, because and people oversimplify. You know, they want to say the president's dumb and insensitive. And, you know, remember that during that correspondence dinner when they showed that video presentation that the president did where he was looking out the window. And he said, where are the weapons of mass destruction? And he was looking under the sofa. No weapons here.
Yeah.
And a lot of leftists suggested that that was insensitive to sort of trivialize the basis for war like that. And I think, again, that's not fair, and I won't have it. You know, I think the president was really looking for the weapons. You know, I think that's how Cheney and Rumsfeld keep him busy. They're like, Georgie boy, the grown-ups have to talk. Go look for bombs under the couch.
And then they said, it'll be funny if we show it.
Oh, yeah, just show it. It'll be hilarious.
We were talking about today's big day in Massachusetts, the gays get to get married.
Oh, finally.
Yeah, yeah, everyone's you know very excited.
Not only do I think they should be allowed to get married, I think they should have to get married. I'm tired of their happy-go-lucky lifestyles. You know? I'm tired of walking by cafes in Chelsea when they're all body-built, ripped up, planning their next trip to Thailand. You know, and I got to sit there like, all you do is sit there. You know, we got to go see my mother. These gay guys haven't made.
Yeah, they definitely, now they can finally let it go a little bit. Is that what you're saying? Let them get fat.
That's right. I'm tired of them making us look bad. I mean, I could look good in denim short shorts and combat boots, too, if I had all day to do leg presses with the crunch. My friend, you know, just try picking out China patterns. Let's see how those delts look then.
I know. I was wondering about that. Like, look at the haircut I have. This is not a straight man's haircut.
No,
they infiltrated everything. Now I have to go to the gym every day just to look good. But don't you feel good when a gay guy looks at you? Check doesn't make you think like, yeah, I must be really hot because, you know, women don't look at me like that.
I guess, although, you know, they're not necessarily always the most discerning. They're men. Let's face it. I mean, you know, they're men just like we are. Yeah, let's face it.
So they,
you know, they go for their version of a fatty, too, every once in a while.
What are you saying, man? I've been working out for a long
time. No, you actually do. I was going to say, you look kind of more gay than you used to. But that is, like, the gay guys are the bodybuilders, and they're the most fit guys ever. You know, it's going to change the stereotypes. I'm like, you think he's a little gay? Oh, yeah, he bench presses, like, 450 pounds. Wow, that is gay, 450.
Yeah, I was walking out of the gym the other day, you know, and, like, I just gotten this haircut. You know, and I'm not gay, but, I don't mind if people, whatever, you know, I
trying.
You like to be ogled.
Yeah. Can I just say, for the benefit of the listeners who can't actually see your haircut, there's a little pointy bit that's kind of short around most of the hair.
And
in the middle, there's like a pointy bit that's like a little elf or something that sticks up in the middle.
I had this weird moment where I'm walking on the elevator and these three women in Queens are walking out and one of them under her breath says, Fudge Packer. Right? And there was a moment there where, what could I really do? Like, wait, I am not!
Stopped having sex with that guy.
Hey, I didn't think they saw it.
Oh, you were just walking?
Yeah, walking down the street.
Wow, that's pretty harsh.
Though. Isn't it tough being a comic sometimes, dude?
Well, now it is, because you want to talk about sort of topical stuff, and it's not exactly the most hilarious time in history. And the fact is, most people now want escapist stuff anyway. They don't, you know, they're looking for an escapist.
Yeah.
You know, which to me, even the whole reality genre, even the concept of reality is like that. Even the reality TV in itself is sort of a denial and escapist concept. That it's like, this is reality. This is it's not
right.
It's not Iraq and what's happening in Afghanistan. It's what steroid-addled bartender could eat the most monkey brains.
Yeah.
That's real. That's what's real. Yeah. And every show is a reality show and it's gotten so absurd that they even have this new one coming out, The Contender. Have you seen that one?
No.
Which is about boxers. They're going to go across America and they're going to find the best boxer. And
I heard about that. Yeah,
Sylvester Stallone's hosting it.
Yes,
again?
Yes.
Just so they can use the slogan, I could have been a contender. It's a high concept.
No,
they're
going to go and find who the best boxer in America is. And you know, we already had that show, and it was called Boxing.
Yeah, right. And there's two of them, because one is Stallone, and then one Oscar De La Hoya.
Yeah, and Oscar De La Hoya was supposedly got all controversial.
Oh, that's the thing about those two having a fight some controversy. Oh, okay.
Yeah, the whole thing's gotten...
I think that what would make that show really interesting, though, is if they had one professional boxer and guys that didn't know how to box.
Yeah, just amateurs.
Watch them get caught.
Well, that's what you'd think would be next, like a complete, like some sort of Coliseum type of
event. Well, it's like Joey Buttafuoco and Tanya Harding when they had those matches. I love that.
That is great. It is hard not to enjoy that.
Yeah. Yeah. Are they going to have female boxing or is it just male boxing?
Did you see the one with Tanya Harding and Paula Jones fought each other and Paula Jones covered up and ran into the corner?
Yeah.
I mean, it was
how far away?
I loved it.
How far away are we from, like, you know, reality shows where people actually die when they lose? I mean, it's got to be soon, right?
It seems to be getting close.
Oh, my God.
There was somebody. Remember that case of the, I don't know what show it was now, Sally Jesse Raphael? Didn't somebody...
after the Jenny Jones show.
No, that was Jenny Jones.
It was one of those.
That was Jenny Jones.
I get them all, the blur of reality.
But that's what starts happening once you have this completely open and confessional culture, and it's, you know, it, which I guess is good on some level, but I mean, I don't mean to be hypocritical. I've done immoral and terrible things, but I lie about it.
We've all done
it.
And you know, not on camera.
No, and I'm a Christian, so I have the decency to lie and cover up my faults, and, you know, these shows, like, I was watching one of those daytime talk shows the other day, and there was all these girls on there that had babies and they didn't know who the father was, and they were just proud as hell to be on television bragging about it. And again, I don't want to be a hypocrite, but there was a time in our history where if you got pregnant and you didn't know who the father was, you thought, wow, I'm a bit of a whore. You know? I think I slept with too many dudes last month. I should have kept better records, maybe a journal or a sign-in book, and you'd be a little embarrassed. You'd make up lies to tell the kid your father was a hero. He died in the war.
Yeah.
And then the kid would grow up and think, wait, we never went to war with Holland in the 70s. What kind of lie was that? But at least you tried. You didn't go on the Maury Povich show and spin a big wheel to see which toothless mullet head was your baby daddy. And once we start glorifying those kinds of, you know,
This parade of dysfunction.
It's going to lead to the sort of tragedy that happened on the Jenny Jones show.
Or,
no, I'm not a conservative.
It leads to going out and buying big screen TVs and big fat watches.
It does. You just
get pushed over the edge.
It could be. But no, I'm not a conservative. I'm actually more reactionary than anything else. It really depends on who I'm on.
Look, I think the Maury Povich stuff is the funniest stuff I see on TV.
Oh, I think it's hilarious.
It's the 26th time that this woman has come back to try and find out. And each time she comes back, she says, I'm certain it's this one.
Yeah.
And then Maury does the DNA, and it's not this one. And she goes into hysterics.
Yeah.
And Jerry Springer, who, by the way, now is apparently going to be an alternate delegate to the Democratic convention.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I think that's wonderful.
But all those. We got to go, and we're going to come back. Give us a call, 866-303-2270. That's 866-303-AAR0. I guess we'll take your calls about how come liberals generally don't have such a great sense of humor? Isn't it okay to laugh even if you're a liberal and hypersensitive? Give us a call with Geraldo here on Air America Radio.
Smart business people know the difference between success and failure lies in the ability to grow. Being limited by your current facility adds up to lost productivity and, even worse, lost revenue. You've looked at the price to build and keep putting it off, but have you considered the cost of not building? Now is the time to build that warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space you need with the General Steel Corporation. The General will show you how to save time and money with a steel building engineered for your area and to meet your needs. This is no metal box. General Steel will show you how to add the look of stucco, rock, or brick to make that building attractive yet low maintenance and energy efficient. Call toll free 1-800-70-STEEL. If you need warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space, you need the General. If your church or school needs to expand quickly and save money, you need the General. Whether you need a 60 by 120 for under $54,000 or a 100 by 150 for under $108,000, call the General now for free information. Grab a pen and write down this number, 1-800-70-STEEL. That's 1-800-70-STEEL.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone, and since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself
All he knows is, since CordaSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter. But in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CordaSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CordaSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316.
Good morning. It's 44 past the hour. We're taking your calls at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott. Greg Giraldo is here. We're talking about humor, and I guess I'm just appealing to some people. Like, you know, liberals can get very sensitive about almost anything to the point where it's hard to know what is and isn't funny. So give us a call. What's on your mind about that? Right now it is time, as we do every day, for the morning devotional. Dear Lord, Vatican officials have said Catholics should restrain themselves from marrying Muslims, especially Catholic women and Muslim men. I'm confused, Lord. If you really want to keep us apart, you've got to do something about the sex drive. It just makes everyone hot for everyone else. Muslims hot, Catholics hot, Jews hot, Buddhists hot, Episcopalians. Well, my point is, Lord, they're all your creations, right? So they're all hot. You're one sexy divinity, Lord. Don't deny it. You know you're all that, Lord. So we've got two options. Either we stay in our own little neighborhood and only procreate with people exactly like ourselves, or it's open season and we mix the gene pool until we all come out the same shade of beige. The Vatican is clearly going with option A, but everything in my being is going towards that hot Pakistani woman I see on the elevator. Give us a sign, Lord. Please. Please. Thanks, man. And don't take that the wrong way, honey. Amen.
That was comedy, wife. That was comedy.
You got to draw this distinctions. We were talking about that.
You do have to draw those distinctions. It's all for the job.
I mean, like, man, it's like if you say, yeah, oh, here's the number, 866-303-2270. Give us a call. We're talking about comedy. Yeah, I mean, I had to be careful. Like, yeah, you have to pass stuff off with your wife. Don't you have to
go? The one about wanting her dead, like that kind of stuff?
You have to go. I'm just kidding.
The one about the waitresses in Columbus, Ohio?
Yeah, those
you got to kind of fictionalize a little. Let's just say me or someone like me.
Yeah.
One of my best friends who's also a comic.
Okay.
If I were like that guy. Yeah.
Chris. I thought you were about to tell us a great story.
No, I'm saying that's
Chris in Connecticut, what's going on?
Well, you know, I what I think is funny is sometimes when you can't tell if things are funny or not. Like, I can't tell if it's funny or not that everybody is upset about the voting scandal on American Idol.
Right, yeah, what is that?
They're not upset about the voting scandal in 2000 that got our current president into office.
Right. Or even informed about the easily fixed voting machines, the Debo machines. It's hilarious, though, because we even had that conversation today. It's like, can you believe it's rigged?
Yeah.
That people can vote more than once. And
People get fired up about all that voting. They even get voted, you know, like people, I like the people that vote in for like these July 4th weekend music marathons, like the Firecracker 500.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
They're sending 50 letters to vote for like Stairway to Heaven, but they won't show up and vote for president.
Why can't they just be president like that?
Well, people just find the weirdest things to get fired up about. Like, of course, the most controversial of all issues with the Spider-Man logo on the
oh,
pages.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. Like,
debase the sanctity of our temple of faith. Well, people are calling Jorge Posada, you know, whatever kind of thing you would say if you weren't on the radio.
Okay,
in front of children.
Yeah.
God forbid you put a logo on the base.
No, you can't. It wasn't even a logo. It was just a little web on the base. And that's in a stadium that's surrounded by ads. It's a complete collage of advertising. But Scott, okay, well, we
just... That was even like, I remember when the whole Bin Laden, you know, even when the war was starting, we got to find Bin Laden. He's public enemy number one. We got to find Osama Bin Laden. And then the new season American Idol came on. I'm like, forget it. Ruben.
Scott in Pennsylvania. Scott, what's on your mind, man?
Morning, all. Hey.
Well, all right. Well, let's try and flesh something out.
I don't know.
Greg, great show, by the way, everybody. Greg, my favorite moment on Colin Quinn's show is when you absolutely shot down Dennis Leary for just taking himself way too seriously one night.
Yep.
Well done.
He almost got his ass kicked for that moment.
Oh.
Did you think it was going to go to throws?
But if you ever seen Dennis Leary in person, you wouldn't be worried about getting around.
What else is on your mind, buddy?
I was thinking the other day about the difference between conservatives and progressive liberals. I think that sarcasm and irony are very closely related, and they're both very high forms of humor in an odd way. irony, sarcasm are completely and utterly lost on conservatives, whereas most liberals I know who don't take themselves ultra seriously, that is their primary method of humor. Only conservatives could talk about the public discourse being mean-spirited and horrible, and then turn around and talk about what a horrible man John Kerry is and how progressives are baby killers in America.
Right, they're bullies. And that's a good example because it's like Dennis Miller, who I was never really a fan of because I always thought he was somewhat of an intellectual fraud, was this, you know, ironic, you know, he was like looked at by liberals and people of our ilk as being this guy who was doing real iconoclastic, smart comedy, assaultive. I always thought he was just a very eloquent name caller. But he started taking himself too seriously, and he completely changed sides, and now no one gives a crap about
him. Well, it's not even that he changed sides as much as that he's just become such a shill. It's hard to trust anybody's comedic insight if it's predictable and completely one-sided, really. And you can't tell me that there's, even if you're conservative in principle, you can't tell me there's nothing to criticize about the Bush administration. You can't tell me that there's nothing funny about what's going on there.
I just think I hate him. We'll be back. We're going to talk to Greg Giraldo. We'll take a couple more calls here on Air America.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Today at 5 on Channel 7 Eyewitness News. Cell phone family plans. Eyewitness News finds a catch that could cost your family big.
It cost me more. I got a bill for $380.
Plus at 5, history in the making. Eyewitness News takes you to Boston live for the first gay marriages. Plus at 6, 50 years since schools were forced to integrate. But what's changed since then? See for yourself when Eyewitness News surveys our schools today. It all starts with Diana Williams, Jade Veteran Wa, and Sam Champion with the AccuWeather Forecast. Today at 5, only on EBC7.
All new Oprah Goes Back in Time. 400 years.
What year might this be?
1628.
Forget the simple life.
All these years, women did not have panties?
This is the tough life.
Where does one go to the bathroom when one goes?
What did she get herself into?
I am not going to survive if a rat falls on my face.
Next Oprah.
Today at 4, only on ABC 7, followed by Eyewitness News at 5.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies. Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy rewards program subject to eligibility.
Good morning. We're coming in for landing here on Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. I am Mark Maron with Mark Riley and Sue Ellicott. Greg Giraldo is hanging out. We're going to take a couple more calls because it's fun and we like to. Mike in New Jersey. Mike, I got a feeling.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good, man. How are you doing?
Hey, I just want to tell you guys are a great alternative to Rush Lamo and Shaun of Sanity.
Thank you. It's Shaun of Sanity. I never heard that. Good one. So what's
I think that the right is not too humorous because I think pretty much their self-righteousness has turned out to be not so righteous.
Right, right. And you think liberals are, you know, how do we rank?
I think you guys are just a lot smarter about your arguments, and you actually look into the facts, whereas they're just ranting and raving because they're just sore losers because they're wrong. Basically.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So it's a conservative. So I can hear, like, on the board that came up, it said, like, your call is about liberals being sore losers and self-righteous. And I was like, uh-oh.
We're waiting to bite your head off, Mike. Yeah. You messed up, man.
Thanks. I think you're right. They are self-righteous. And that's weird because that's exactly what they accuse us of being.
Which is better
actions. They're dead wrong.
Yeah, thank
they're
you.
Dead wrong.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
You know, it seems to me like there is a little element of sore loserness on the because the conservatives, they really are winning sort of in a certain way in setting the agenda. Like even the fact that George Bush is viewed as like this ranch hand, you know, how does that get out there? How is that? I mean, how is taking like a month-long vacation? When did that become like a sign of he's a man of the people? The fact that he's so used to like loafing on his ranch. He's so used to taking, and you know, how is he a cowboy rancher? I mean, the guy, he grew up and went to prep schools. He was a cheerleader at Andover.
How do they believe that? He's
and all of a sudden, now he's less of a rancher than like the cowboy in the Village People. But somehow he's painted himself as this believable everyman.
I had this guy on the plane next to me coming back from London who was a British banker who was coming over to work on Wall Street, and he said to me, is it normal for an American president to spend 8 months of the year on vacation? I said, no.
Yeah.
I just don't understand it. You know, it's actually starting to fray away that I couldn't understand why people would still defend him. I mean, he's clearly got these weird liabilities personally, and he's not very bright, but yet people would still really find him appealing. But I think it's starting to shed away a little bit, shred.
He's a skilled politician, and you don't have to be bright to be a skilled politician. That's a mistake a lot of people make. I have interviewed some of the dumbest people on earth who some of the most efficient politicians. They've been in Congress for 20 years, some of them.
They just turn it on. They know what to say. Eric in Connecticut. Eric?
First of all, your sponsor, Verbal Advantage, can we send a copy of that to the president?
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think he needs it. Yeah. Next is that we just find things funny that are different than what the liberal and the conservative. The conservative point of view is like their sense of humor is like a bully sense of humor.
Right.
It's like they tease people. It's like it's really funny. You know,
they're meanies.
They're meanies, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, some conservative humor, I guess, can be mean, but I'd like to think of it as more crass than mean sometimes. I mean, there's a difference between being just sort of, you know, shocking and I what do you think about that? Isn't it funner to be shocking than it is mean?
I don't know. I mean, I like making fun of people, too. I think ultimately part of the problem is that it's this political correctness that sort of indoctrinated a lot of us that went through college in the 80s, and the idea of not being mean, you know, there's usually a victim in comedy. I mean, and if someone says, oh, how could you say that, or that was, nobody, there shouldn't be groans in comedy.
Yeah, there's our, that's the facts coming from the Streisand compound with the liberal agenda for today. So get your pencils, liberal soldiers, here are your marching orders. One, when children play cops and robbers, tell them instead to call it the oppressors and the unjustly accused. Two, take empty Avion bottles to recycling center. Place redemption money in fund to buy Pilates machines for inner city. I screwed it up. Put the money in a fund to buy Pilates machines for inner city kids.
Yay.
There you go.
Three, to be empathetic, have a symbolic gay marriage with member of the opposite sex. Four, sleep with the enemy. Well, assume they're the enemy since you don't really always know the people you sleep with. Five, when stopped at a red light, really crank up the Nora Jones CD to show that you still rock.
There you go.
That's the liberal agenda today. Thank you for coming, Greg Giraldi.
Thank you, Mark.
You can see him on Tough Crowd and anywhere. Primarily at the Comedy Cellar.
Seattle this weekend at the something. The Chuckle Palace.
The Giggles?
The Giggles. The actual name is
Know
less,
Your Venue.
So come on down from Portland.
Coming up on tomorrow's Morning Sedition.
Oh. Know your geography.
Coming up tomorrow, the author of Bushisms is back with an updated version. We'll have the Bushisms you haven't heard yet on tomorrow's Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio.
Thinking about buying a used vehicle from a private owner? Think about this. Every Ford Quality Check certified pre-owned vehicle has to pass a rigorous 115-point inspection. The ones that do qualify come with 6 years, 75,000-mile powertrain, limited warranty coverage, and 24-hour roadside assistance. Think you'll get a 3.9% interest rate from a private owner? I don't think so. If we don't certify it, it's just used. Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Spring is my least favorite season. My allergies act up so bad, I feel like I need one of those surgeon's masks to go outside. I tried Claritin and Benadryl Allergy, but they never really worked for me. Then I found out they're only made to help some of my symptoms. I needed something that would help all of them.
Tylenol Allergy Sinus provides complete relief from itchy, watery eyes and runny nose, as well as sinus pain, pressure, and congestion. Stop. Think. Tylenol. Use only as directed.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York.